Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wiehunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wiehunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wiehunt the Barbarian.
On America. Let's say on the radio each week, we are a world at war. There are always wars and more rumors of war going through the world at this time. I will report to you the news as I see fit for God and country. As Von Wiehunt single-handedly, some say, keeps Dr. Evil at bay. The globalist cabal continues, and you've reached the radio octagon tonight. This is Pirate Radio at its best, America. They broadcast each week from the mountains of Arizona. Sun Tzu and the Art of War. As he said, the supreme art of war is to subdue the enemy without even fighting or firing a shot. Don't we see that now in this country, how they are trying to subvert our military, our government, our nation without firing a shot? There were prophets back in the day that said that the Red Dawn invasion or the UN invasion, they would just roll in to America and the people would do nothing. I hope that's not the case. Because Sun Tzu also said that the whole secret lies in confusing the enemy so that he cannot fathom our real intent. Sun Tzu, The Art of War. I suggest you read it sometime. I own the book. I've read it many times. And now we get to flash intel around the world and from a world at war. China threatens this week to crack skulls, their words, after Japan's diplomat Shinzo Abe speaks up for Taiwan. Russia warns that military action in the Ukraine is, quote, highly likely. We've been talking about Russia and the Donbass region of Ukraine for several weeks now. Again, this show is the tip of the spear. We are always in the know. The U.S. urges de-escalation of Ukraine as Russia warns of a nightmare scenario if NATO or if the U.S. gets involved. Here's kind of an interesting fun fact. It's a warning. Some experts say for the California coast, a monstrous deep-sea angler fish, I've seen the photographs, found near San Diego, and it is monstrous, could be the sign, they say, of the next big tsunami, some experts warn. This is a angler fish that normally is at 2,000 feet or below in the depths of the ocean and hardly ever comes up for air. And basically, well, some people have called the show and surmised it could be Hillary Clinton or a Democrat California congressman in the depths of the big ocean. But the teeth on this thing were amazing. Who knows? A microchip containing your vaccine passport information, scientists say, can now be embedded in your hand, or forehead for that matter, right? Is this the mark of the beast from biblical times? Could be. If anything, in my view, it's the prelude to that. And more news from Europa. Unvaccinated Austrians, not Australians, but Austrians next to Germany, can now face prison time for government noncompliance. They do not get the shot in Austria. They will now lock you up. They would love to do that in America. As I've told you before, they are first attacking all the white Western so-called democratic governments around the world where the population is disarmed, like Europe, Australia, New Zealand, the UK, also part of Europe, of course, Canada, but not America yet. We still have 450 million guns in this country, billions of rounds of ammunition in the hands of private citizens, and more, I'm sure. Cuomo is still under a federal probe, their words, not mine, for sexual harassment claims. And the Omicron COVID-19 variant, isn't everything now a variant? We have a variant each week, a variant each day. It's now found in Colorado, scientists say, this variant. I'm not convinced. We'll see how it goes. Every day the shoe drops. Every day more scare tactics. By the way, a South African scientist, hasn't our media told you this COVID variant, Omicron, has come from South Africa? Well, a South African scientist has said that there's no such thing and people are not dropping like flies. He's all over the internet, and I'm sure you can easily find him if you Google it. By the way, Omicron is an anagram. It's a word game. If you rearrange the letters of Omicron, you get the word moronic. I swear to God, get out a piece of paper and a pen, write out Omicron, move around the letters. It stands for moronic, M-O-R-O-N-I-C. The elites are laughing at you, America. And by the way, these South African doctors and scientists are shocked at the response and the overreaction in America, our government, and the world. What did I tell you? The Biden-Harris regime will latch on to any tiny bit of news, bring it back across the oceans, and scare you to death. And they want to use it for political capital, to suppress you, to lock you up, etc. And by the way, those Australian containment internment camps, concentration camps, I've seen the videos on the internet. They are alive and well. They are locking people up, interning them in Australia, whether or not you have the shot or not. Well, I would say this, Sydney, Australia, and other docks, if you dock workers there in Australia, when the ships come in, start seeing guillotines being unloaded on the Sydney docks, I guess you may have a problem. Think about that. And you know what I mean. If you start seeing crates come in with guillotines, run for the hills. We all know the globalists are tyrannical and they want full spectrum control, not just over their locale or their country. Oh, no, 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 no. You thought this was a conspiracy theory. You were told it was by CNN, the Communist News Network, and other crappy Democrat liberal mouthpieces on the TV set. We told you this was real. They want full control over the world. Capital W world. But there is hope, because on Black Friday, the FBI ran 200,000 gun checks and hit a new record as gun sales go boom all over America. I just love it. Buy more guns and ammo, boys. We may need it someday in more ways than one. Buy it now while you still can. I keep telling you, you're taking my advice, and my heart is a flutter and a glow with that news story. 200,000 purchases. That means 200,000 more guns are in the hands of patriots. I just love it. Buy more while you still can, while your dollar is still worth something. It is fiat currency. Before they implode the dollar and shut the stores and shut down the internet, many of you guys shop online, as I do. I love brick-and-mortar stores. I also like the internet. So get your gear now. What have I been telling you for years? And you're doing it, and I love it. Congratulations. America's still got some sense left. Well, Australia's mass death camps and manhunts going inside that country right now for quarantine prison escapees are showing the world yet again the globalist tyrannical hand. Yes, the big lie continues, and the massive global psyop does as well. We know on my show that we never comply to tyranny. The Von Wiegand Show. We have complete air supremacy and full power over the radio airwaves and the communist forces that are aligned against us. We're on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday night from 8 to 10 Mountain Standard Time. That's 8 p.m. is when we start here locally in Arizona. Marcus Aurelius, the Roman emperor of high fame and ability, said that death smiles at us all. All a man can do is smile back. Very true words. And I would say this, looking at our situation, which we talk about on every show, we didn't vote our way into this back in 1776. Now, did we? Think about it. I pose questions to the audience, rhetorical questions. I'm not advocating you do anything. I'm only advocating that you prepare. But it is worth mentioning that in 1776, there wasn't a move to get your vote or to change voting machines or vote counters in the colonies. The colonists knew damn well that voting could be rigged even back then. It's no different then than it is today. They didn't wait around to vote their way into a new nation. They fought for it with, God forbid, the gun, the musket. That was the AR-15 of that era, of that day. So when Democrats tell you that the Second Amendment was not written for AR-15s, they are full of it. The musket was the AR-15 of its day. It was a weapon of war. The weapons of war in the colonies were made legal for all Americans who could purchase them. They were weapons of war. They were not just used for deer hunting and squirrel hunting as it is today. The musket and the bayonet were weapons of war. So when these liberal Democrats get on TV and say they never wanted you to have a weapon of war, it's a bunch of leftist propaganda and BS, more Bernie Sanders. We didn't vote our way into this, so why would anyone think that we can vote our way out of it? That's the question I pose to you tonight. Only a question. Well, while that's going on, if you've been following the international weather, as our studio has, apocalyptic windstorms have hit Istanbul, Turkey. They had 4 fatalities, and I've seen these videos. They are incredible. Roofs are flying off of skyscrapers, homes. Istanbul, Turkey has been hit. I think God's angry at Turkey. It's home to 16 million people in Istanbul. Trees were uprooted. Many, many rooftops were just blown away. And the mosque minarets, those long cylinder-type buildings, were toppled by the wind and thrown violently to the ground and broken up in many pieces. Even an iconic Muslim clock tower was also destroyed by the wind. The winds of war, the winds of change, the winds of God. The satanic political elites just love the blood ritual sacrifice of the innocents to their deity, Moloch, and other demonic entities. We know that for sure. These people do run the world. They try to run the world. Now, I'm not going to get into the abortion thing that people have asked me to. That's been a big story this week. I would just say this. But I think in the eyes of God, I think he views abortion as an abomination. And we know a lot more about the womb than we did 20, 30, 40 years ago. With all the medical cameras and things of that nature, we know far, far more about it. Now, last week we were in overtime about 10:10 on our local time here in Arizona, and everything just went blacked out on the radio screen. So we don't know what happened. There was not a power outage, but we believe it was more electronic harassment. As we were talking in overtime about, God forbid, an American Civil War or Second Revolution, everything went dark. Isn't that interesting? Interesting timing. From time to time, when we get on certain subjects that I think the powers that be don't like, they pull the plug on the station. As I've always told you, if we ever go dark, it's not because of me. It will be because of electronic interference. Now, next week, we have the brilliant author, Steve Albini, who will be with us. We all know we're approaching the December 7th anniversary of the surprise attack on Pearl Harbor. So on December the 9th, 2 days later, we'll have the author talk about his book entitled Who Murdered FDR? This is very timely given the Pearl Harbor anniversary. FDR, by the way, he had the famous speech that December the 7th, 1941 was a date that will live in infamy, within the declared war on the Empire of Japan, and thus thrust America into World War II in the Pacific Theater, as the Brits would say. Yes, we'll talk about that. I do believe that FDR was murdered. There's a lot of circumstantial evidence. Soviets and the Premier Stalin, Joseph Stalin of mighty Russia, wanted FDR gone so they could carve up Europe and put it under the Iron Curtain, which we all know happened right after World War II. And you look back and you wonder what those guys were fighting for at times. And after World War II, half of Europe was under the Iron Curtain, or behind the curtain, so to speak, of mighty Soviet communist Russia. And then the rest is history. Well, this is the communist regime in China, and we all know they have the goods on the Biden family, it appears. And the Chinese military and their Politburo, they covet America and our rich, arable, fantastic farmland. As they openly talk about and plan a land invasion in the future, when they feel that America has been properly, quote, subjugated. Well, we shall see about that, shall we? We shall see about that. And in cool news tonight, some cool European news from mighty Europa. The Italian police find a bust of Al Pacino as Scarface in a mafia raid on one of their Italian mafioso strongholds. I've seen the bust of Scarface. It's a split image of the movie. And it's pretty cool that they found that there in a mafia stronghold. Folks, you've just tuned in. We're so glad you're here tonight. You've reached the infamous, the rogue Von Wiehunt Show. The torch has been passed.
The Von Wiehunt Show. Conversation and analysis of breaking news, geopolitical events, politics, history, and some fun, too. Von Wiehunt is an astute observer of the human condition. Von Wiehunt will cut through the political correctness and speak bluntly about the social, political, and economic demise taking place in America and around the world. Von Wiehunt is a nationalist who, without shame, puts America first. Von Wiehunt, the Barbarian. Thursday at 8 p.m.
Yes. And the Belarus dictator, Lukashenko, declares that Ukraine is ours and he vows to help Putin rebuild the Soviet Union empire. Make no mistake about it. Putin's raid into Crimea and his massing of troops near Ukraine is all designed to capitulate Ukraine and their government and to get them back in the fold. Moscow wants Ukraine back. Ukraine became a separate nation after the fall of the Soviet Union in 1991. To give you a short history lesson, they've been a state for many years now. And the Ukrainian foreign minister urged a three-pronged approach at the NATO summit. He said Moscow could be deterred with sanctions and military support for Kiev, as Putin has sent some 94,000 troops to the Ukrainian border, sparking invasion fears. These are fears deepened as the Putin ally Lukashenko claimed that Ukraine is ours and will be back with us, is what he said. There's a Marxist globalist coup going through the entire world right now. We are a world at war. Well, those willing to kill the unborn shouldn't be allowed to govern the living. How about those apples? Well, old Army wrote the show, and he said, they are trying to kill you with the vaccine. They stole the election, he said. Millions will soon die. Don't take the vaccine. Arm yourself. Prepare to defend your family and your nation. He said, forgive my language. Sometimes sugarcoating things just doesn't quite get the message across. I like that Old Army, great moniker, Old Army, call the show anytime. By the way, if you're a new caller tonight, new callers always get to the front of the line in the radio octagon. We're at 563-999-3437 if you want to call in tonight, later on in the show, after the monologue. What the Chinese communists really did in Tiananmen Square back in the day in Beijing, what the mainstream media edited to try and trick you that they are your lovable foreign Asian panda friends, right? Actually, they're a very brutal Marxist regime. And there's a lot of photographs on my Gab website of them running people over with their tanks. So a little bit of gore every now and then is what's needed to not sugarcoat things, to let you know the gravity, pun intended, of the situation. These Chinese communist tanks, they did run people over. They did kill people, tear off legs and limbs and arms and A lot of these photographs have now been smuggled out of China. Yes, it's no longer an ancient Chinese secret, is it? We now know. We always suspected, but we now know. We have the photographic evidence. China's done much to suppress things. Also, they have many explosions in China this last week or two. They've had 10 explosions in the past 10 days, almost one every day. It's really weird. These are big things, big explosions that are not covered by our mainstream media at all. You have not heard about this anywhere but my show, because they refuse to cover it by orders of the Chinese communists, the Chi-Coms for short. These things are real. You can go to my Gab page, et cetera, and you can look these things up. Pretty amazing. Just blowing up skyscrapers, blowing up businesses, market squares, whether it's sabotage or an internal power struggle within the Communist Party itself. All other media is deathly afraid to talk about that except my show. We will talk about it. I do believe that there are internal power struggles inside China. I do believe that. They're not as monolithic, I'm sorry. They're not as straight and narrow as a united front as they try to claim and appear to be to the rest of the world. We did not take the beast vaccine, and you will feel the power of the purebloods in America. Had some good mail that came in this week. A man also wrote the show and said this: Von Wehunt, I love your show, man, but they are really pulling out all the stops to get eyes off the Maxwell trial, as you and I both know. Well, if they are going to destroy the world, now is as good of a time as any, he writes. We are about to see some epic stuff go down, don't you think? Definitely interesting times, and this is exactly what I've been saying about the Maxwell trial. She's the Mossad honeypot, and the blackmail part is going to be totally covered up, despite the fact that that was the entire reason for the underage sex trafficking to begin with, to get political elites on tape and on film, violating the innocent children. I believe you're right. I believe it could very well have been a Mossad operation, i.e. globalists, i.e. elite. The elites were themselves stalked, trafficked to Epstein Island. Isn't it funny that they were trafficked in the Epstein jet, much of the same way that they traffic children all over the world by plane, boat, and land? They were trafficked there, they were stalked, they were spied on, they were recorded, and that's why they told you Epstein died in jail by suicide, which I don't believe at all. That's why this Maxwell trial will not see the light of day. Too many big names are on those lists. Who has all that photographic evidence? Yeah, I'm thinking about that. Pretty amazing stuff. By the way, they say the video on the Anthony Weiner, the Democrat, that's his name, Anthony Weiner, for those of you who don't know, it's his real name, from New York, that his videos are so gross and so hideous and so demonic and so bad that seasoned police professionals and FBI agents who see this stuff all the time literally had to throw up. Couldn't imagine what's on that video, and don't ever want to see it. Well, all this is coming to a theater near you, America. I mean, a country near a you once again as this tyranny mounts, as the COVID crap continues. And by the way, in Cook County, Chicago, they're already past 1,000 homicides for the year. Congratulations, Chicago. The killing fields of America. Bravo to you guys. Well, after a while, it just becomes, I hate to say it, a bad joke. Many people have called into all kinds of internet shows and said that they should just get it over with and just kill each other. It's what the New World Order wants anyway, right? Isn't this what they want? Isn't this what the government wants for mayhem and chaos to reign supreme in the streets? Well, you got it in Chicago. dangerous, dangerous city. Though I have friends up there, they say depends on where you go at night like anywhere else. Still, watch your back, folks. I told you before, keep your head on a swivel going forward. Even me, when I walk around, I'm walking into a mall today, somewhere in Arizona, and I see cars and, you know, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 pound vehicles. Waukesha, Wisconsin comes to mind, and I don't dilly-dally around, and I'm always watching them in case they gun the engine. You never know if some militant Democrat is behind the engine of that big truck or that big rig who wants to try to run down a European white guy, right? We all know the Democrats have a big war on whitey, and that's why that guy, Daryl Brooks in Wisconsin, targeted those people in the parade. They were all white people, white families, white victims. He knew damn well that who was in that neighborhood, who was in that parade, and where to target his jihad, his personal war against whites, against the Wisconsin people. And there's a lot of heartbreak in Wisconsin from that and a lot of other things, but unbelievable. And we have listeners in Wisconsin, of course. They can feel free to call the show. Amazing week for news again. A federal judge blocks Biden's vaccine mandate nationwide for now. For now, I say, be prepared, folks. This won't end pretty in America, but we do hope that cooler heads prevail. Now, not to get too overly technical with the audience, but as I told you before, that the Omicron is an anagram for the word moronic, and it also is an anagram for this word, oncomir. Write it down, O-N-C-O-M-I-R. It is a microRNA that is associated with cancer. MicroRNAs are short RNA molecules, about 22 nucleotides in length. And essentially, these microRNAs are specifically targeting certain messenger RNAs to prevent them from coding for a specific protein. Science lingo, I'll break it down for you. It's all so very evil. That's all you have to know. That's all I want to know. Well, we all know about the anagrams, and they're talking about more and more booster shots. Dr. Death, Mengele Fauci, has been on the news laughing and joking, taking pot shots at senators and congressmen and smirking. He brings up January 6th as if that's a catch-all for any questions that he deems uncomfortable. In my view, Fauci is the most dangerous federal government bureaucrat ever in the history of bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. He is a policy wonk more than a doctor. He is an evil doctor at best. He should have been fired a long time ago. Trump should have fired him and did not. When he embarrassed the Trump regime, Trump should have also pardoned the January 6th protesters that were nonviolent, which the vast majority of them didn't do a damn thing, 99.9999%. They should all have been pardoned by Trump, and they were not. Trump has lost a lot of street cred by not giving them a pardon, just so you know, America. Other things that he's brought up. We love Trump on one hand. I voted for him. We'll vote for him again, I'm sure, if he runs again. But he has lost a lot of his base. I would say at least 20% has been clipped by three or four things that he did or did not do. Sins of omission in his case. The sins of omission. It's not always what you do in life. It's what you don't do that people will judge you on. Yes, they will judge you on that. Well, a lot of explosions in China. And just know that China is the model. Our leaders have completely sold us out. Our leaders want us to emulate and resemble China and their social credit score for all Americans. This is the world that they want. This is the new world order. We have to fight against it, tooth and nail. At the very least, we have to push it back 20, 30, 40 more years. Throw a wrench in their machine. Give us some even more time to prepare. More paychecks are needed by Americans to buy their gear, buy their land. People don't walk on money, right? Money does not fall from the heavens like manna. You got to earn that money, then you can go invest in your future. They don't want you getting a farm or a ranch or leaving the big city. They don't want you getting livestock or knowing how to grow food. Isn't it always funny that when Americans, they had several news articles about Americans getting back into gardening, growing crops, the outcry from the bureaucrats, from state, local, and federal. That tells you a lot. It should speak volumes to you when they got all in a huffy puffy mood about Americans relearning their agrarian past. How dare you, America, want to know how to grow food? Don't you know that you're supposed to go to the supermarket and wave your left or right hand with the beast mark, or you can scan your forehead for the vending machine to then open the door for you, which Walgreens is now installing? Don't you know that's how you're going to get your food? They don't want you growing it in your backyard. They'll have local laws about that. They'll probably say it takes too much water and the city's low on water, so it's against the law to grow crops. That is my best analysis of what they'll probably say. And they're doing that actually in some areas now. Well, we all know that America is the last bastion and obstacle to their complete, utter takeover, my friends, and we all know it. It's been reported that 160,000 U.S. troops are struggling to feed their families, even with our $753 billion defense budget. Isn't that amazing? Now, there's always been stories of the troops having a hard time, but it is just amazing what's happening there. We all know that the Democrats, they are the Marxist party. They want to disarm real America. So I say, don't let them win. Don't let them win. Fight. Fight them right now in the courts. Fight them in the streets if you have to, but fight them with, hopefully we can have some elections where we can at least get our people in there, even though they're going to be corrupted to the max. But if voting doesn't work, well, it is what it is. And there may be a time when voting really ceases to work in this country. Sad but true. We're hoping that the nation can have a good holiday season, but I do believe a big false flag is in the works. I do believe that something is brewing out there. Well, we can't seem to take care of our troops. We're gutting the military. And I would say this, when you cannot feed the Roman army, this is precisely when coups occur throughout history. Keep your army hungry and desperate, and you'll always be watching over your back. And I should know, because I was there during Roman times. And with that, we're so glad you're here tonight. Big show. We'll try to get you all on the air. And tonight, a song from our pre-COVID America. I want you to listen to the lyrics. Did you break any glass, America? Did you see any action? Are we going down for the last time? We'll see. Welcome to the Von Wiegand Show. We are airing coast to coast and around the world. Let the show begin.
with the sweet loving better than a white line. Don't you know she could bring a good feeling ain't had in such a long time. Save my life, I'm going down for the last time.
Now we're talking. Save my life. We're going down for the last time. Gosh, love that. Now, a few announcements. Next Tuesday night is our next episode of The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. First Tuesday of every month, boys and girls. 8 o'clock, same bat time, same bat channel. 8 to 10 p.m. once a month. The Bachelor's Den will reopen in America. The bar will be open. And we'll talk about all the things from toxic dating to beautiful chicks to the corporate grind that befall the Bachelor in America today and the world for that matter. Next Thursday night, we'll have again the author Steve Ubaney with his book, Who Murdered FDR? Now, last time he was on, we talked about Who Murdered Elvis. It's a bestseller. Can't wait to hear about the World War II intrigue during that time and era, which I'm very interested in. I think many of you are as well. And gosh, I will read this here in a moment. It's a really good promo, but I wanted to, well, God, here it is right here in front of me. My thoughts from the radio studio. This is worth repeating. I have mentioned this before on the show. So here it goes. If you wanted to defeat America, if you wanted to bring it down to its knees, there are some things that you can do. I always try to see things from the eyes of my enemies. If you're a globalist, if you're a New World Order scumbag and tyrannical idiot who wants to just oppress people and you get your jollies by having that power and that control over people, full spectrum control. Well, there are some things that you can do to realize your demonic, satanic dreams. Here's how it would go. These are the things that you would do if you were a globalist idiot, if you were a Marxist, if you were a tyrannical political elite who just couldn't wait, who's foaming at the mouth to control their people, and to implement their nefarious criminal agenda that only the Nuremberg Code could combat. Well, you would have the U.S. president be a clown on the world stage, falling down from Air Force One staircase. You would have him being a clown in foreign policy. You would shut down the oil industry. You would lay off whole sections of our great American workforce. You would double the prices in the stores to piss off the American consumer. You would create hyperinflation. You would look for more and more bills in front of Congress where you could print legally trillions more dollars out of thin air. On top of that, you would propose trillions in new spending at the drop of a hat at the same time. You would poison and destroy the health of the citizens. You would push media and drugs on the nation's kids. You would put out constant fake news by our corrupt media machine. You would attack God and the Beatitudes on a daily basis. You would use the intelligence services, the intelligentsia, to ransack and raid patriots' homes. At 3 a.m., you would use all government alphabet agencies to to implement your nefarious New World Order goals. You would have the president threaten the public with his fist clenched with his vaccination proclamations every damn day. You would have your government agencies go in front of Congress and proudly proclaim that the citizens of America, especially the white ones in the suburbs with the guns, were domestic terrorists. You would encourage, in fact, you would big time encourage the gay and transgender lifestyle in our military. You would stop ships at sea and bring them back to fit them with transgender or gay bathrooms, to lower the military readiness of America. You would fire gleefully half the doctors and nurses of this fine country. You would then fire first responders to usher in your chaos theory all over America. You would proudly discharge our sailors, Army, Marines, and pilots of its true warriors. And you would drain the military of our strategic oil reserves, presumably on Chinese communist orders. You would lick the heels of the UN Marxist globalists who seek America's total destruction and control. You would open our borders wide open to all third world countries. And on top of that, you would defund the police and you would plan more false flag attacks on American soil, which are probably imminent as we speak. Now you tell me, Mr. and Mrs. America, what could possibly go wrong? Stay armed, stay vigilant, stay rogue, America. The fault lines are everywhere. This is far, far from over. In fact, they are just getting started. We live in very dangerous times. We all know that to be true. Now, we're going to get to some interesting promos here. I thought you would like to hear Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Barbarian.
This is Arnold, and I'm saying I've played the Barbarian before. Here's the real one playing on the radio right now. He's playing for you, playing for everybody who's listening, not only in the United States of America, but around countries all over the world. I like to do it after eating something, grab me some food, and then I sit down and I listen to what's going on, and I say, yes, get him, Barbarian, get him. Let them know. You tune in to the Barbarian, Van Weehunt. It's on right now. He's on all over the world.
Love that. Now, that wasn't the real Arnold. This is for entertainment purposes only. I have to add, though many of you have already figured that one out.
Vaughn is on, so join him on the radio airwaves as he broadcasts on internet radio. It's exploding. It is the Vaughn Weehunt Show, and he's on Thursday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. The mission is to be there without excuse. We'll see you there.
These promos are great, and they do sound a lot like some Hollywood stars, though their names will remain nameless.
Some people want to take your head off for pulling in front of them on a freeway. There are some who don't want you to eat anything but your vegetables. Some want to save the whales. Some want to assault people. Some want to burn things down. And others still want to watch the world set on fire. Well, it could be said of many of these people that they have a one-track mind, but it's always on the wrong track. Well, time to get your mind right. It's the Vaughn Weehunt Show. That's right. Playing on the airwaves. Tune in to Vaughn Weehunt and get your mind on the right track.
Just love that. Let's now get to the gunslinger in the great state of Texas. I know he's been chomping at the bit. Gunslinger, are you there tonight, sir? Going once.
Yes, how you doing?
Are you there, man?
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, doing great.
Yeah.
Hello, hello. How are you doing, man?
It's this crazy weather we're having again. We almost hit 80 degrees today. Can you imagine that? 2nd of December and we're at 80 degrees?
I heard that for Dallas. That's very warm for Dallas this time of year. Oh, yeah.
Yes,
crazy,
it is.
Huh?
Yeah, that's absolutely insanity. There's a couple of little points here I want to make real fast. One is on the Kyle Rittenhouse case there. I heard it yesterday that he's going to destroy the gun that he used to eliminate those problems. Okay. How stupid can you get?
Yes.
The gun should be held and given an award. Yeah.
Why is he doing that?
I haven't quite figured it out yet. I guess it was saying that, well, I don't want it, and it's killed people. Well, gee whiz, it either killed people or they killed you. I mean, which way are you going to have it there, son? You know?
Exactly.
The gun did a good thing for society. It should be given an award. Okay?
Yeah, it gives the gun a medal.
Yes,
it did.
It took out the trash. It did. Yes, absolutely. So, you know,
Kyle did more work on the streets than most people do in a lifetime.
Absolutely, in just a few short minutes, compared to like you said, compared to people's their entire lifetime, he did it within just a few minutes of each other. I mean, he is. But anyway, you got to understand. You know, dude's 18 years old. He's young, dumb, and you know what.
He's listening to too much CNN. He's listening to too much television. I'm sure he's been pouring through the media reports of his trial that were taken. He's probably now just reading tons of liberal crap. Personally, we should have a right-wing museum in the country. I've always proposed that. And that rifle should be in that museum for all to see under display. That'd be a great museum piece, and that's what Kyle should really do, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
That gun, also, if you wanted to sell it, people would give you $1 million for it. I'm sure somebody out there would love to have that gun.
I bet you're 1,000% right. No doubt about that. I mean, that thing would be if the gun could talk, you know, like most guns could.
Talk about
legally.
An icon of our time. I'm sure some millionaire investor could flip that thing and make $1 million off it. I mean, Kyle Rittenhouse's AR-15. Are you kidding me? People would be lined up to buy that gun. You'd have a bidding war on your frickin' hands. It'd be amazing to watch.
Amazing. And the second point here goes back to our great buddy there, Alex Baldwin. Did you hear the latest on him?
He did not pull the trigger, right?
Yeah. When I heard that, I almost fainted and fell in the floor off my desk here. I didn't pull that trigger. You got to be kidding me. I mean, this dude has said some stupid things, okay? But when he comes out there and says, I did not pull that trigger, okay? Guns don't pull themselves. They don't do that. It is physically impossible for a gun to pull the trigger. It has to hold your hand up in front of you, in front of your face, a human hand has to pull that trigger.
Right.
It has to cock it back. Remember, that's the old Western-style Colt 45, I think it was. And it's a single action, so you have to use your thumb or your finger to pull that hammer back and your trigger finger to press it, therefore firing the weapon.
Right.
But when this idiot comes back and says, I did not pull that trigger, I said, you lying SOB, you. I mean, and then you see how he cries. Did you see the theatrics?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just thinking, you got to be kidding me, you know. But this goes to show you how stupid liberals, far left liberals are, because they try to weasel out of things. Okay, a gun. What is it? What did the? Oh, I know who did it. The goat did it. You know how the goat eats your homework and papers and things. The goat pulled the trigger. You know, and they'll believe that.
I actually have written Santa, Gunslinger in the Vast Santa Claus for some more guns. And I'm hoping I get them under the tree with the chestnuts roasting in the roasting fire and have a hot apple cider as I unwrap my presents that I'll give to myself. I love guns, but you got to, operate them responsibly. Now, I think Alec Baldwin, when I heard that, he's doing this on purpose. It's not a slip of the tongue. I'll tell you what he's doing. He knows that if they can prove that he pulled the trigger, which is hard to prove, in his mind, that they've got him if he admits to pulling the trigger. He's now getting – I'm sure he's talked to his lawyer. His lawyer said, don't admit that you pulled the trigger. We're going to say that the gun malfunctioned, and we're going to shift the case to the manufacturer of the gun or the movie prop person who failed to maintain it, yada, yada. See, that's where they're going with this, which I will admit is very clever. And all that's why they put out that thing. Again, it's to muddy the waters from a legal standpoint. Alec Baldwin is trying to get himself out of this fix, out of this jam legally. And if he can, again, it's what you do in a court of law, that he's trying to get that reasonable doubt, right, in the minds of any potential jurors to get him off.
Correct.
That's what this is all. It's all designed. This is not a Freudian slip or him being an imbecile. That's what he wants you to think. This is all calculated and planned. He's saying, I did not pull the trigger. I don't know how that gun went off. I don't. And that, in fact, he said in that video, I don't point guns at people and pull the triggers. I'm above that. I'm beyond that. See, that's going to be their case right there. Prove that I pulled the trigger on a crazy, chaotic movie set, which it was, where people were coming and going. Hell, they don't know who handled that gun before Alec picked it up, right? That's going to be the defense right there. Now, if you're a young attorney, you have got your hands full with that one, but I'm telling you, that's how they're going to approach it.
I bet you're 1,000%. That's insanity because,
that's what I would do. If I was his attorney, I would. I'm not trying to give them any ideas. I'm sure they've already thought this up. And I'm always saying it because that video, when now people always accuse me, don't give me any ideas. Because you're a smart SOB. I go, I know. I am. But I would say, there's no proof, gunslinger, that you pulled that trigger. Prove that my client pulled the trigger, aimed, and had the intent of murdering that girl. See, that's a high threshold for the prosecution. So as an attorney, that's how I would approach it. I would say it's an effed up movie set, which it was, and in Alex's favor, I hate to say it, all these people were quitting, coming, and going. The armory girl was angry. Everyone, and they can show all these motives where they were angry. Maybe they did it to embarrass Alec. Maybe they did it to to screw up the whole movie. Maybe it was revenge. See, they're going to go down all these different rabbit holes. See, it's to confound and confuse the jury. And they'll say, we don't know what happened. It might have been an accidental discharge and no intent to kill. And that's how they're going to approach this. Hate to say it, but.
Yep. He'll find some way to weasel out of it because he's got, like you said, the money to pay these high-priced attorneys that will work around the clock. They'll come up with something. You just wait and see, just like you said. They will wait. They'll come up with some excuse, even though the witnesses are right there. Saying the witnesses said he pulled the gun out, cocked the hammer back, and raised it up and fired. Okay, I guess it's a figmentism of their imagination. That they've seen this.
Right,
but they'll try to play it off and make him look innocent, and they'll probably blame her for it. Oh, see, she called it. She calls me. You know how attorneys are. They're vultures.
Yeah,
they're evil.
That's what they're being paid to do. People get mad at attorneys, but that's what they're paid to do. I mean, if I had millions of dollars, and they are paid to think up ways to get their client off the hook. And to be a good attorney, you have to be creative. I would have been a great one because I would have I thought that right away. I saw the chaos on the movie set, and I kept my mouth shut until this video came out. Since, well, now the cat's out of the bag. That's exactly what I would have done. I thought if I was on the other side, even though we all know he shot and killed her, how would I get my client off? And I said, oh, that's what I would do, but I'm not going to breathe a word about that. I don't want to give them any ideas. Yep. On this radio show. But when they came out with that today, my jaw dropped and I went, damn it. They went right down the road that I would have went down. Chaotic movie set. Chaotic movie. Angry actors. Oh, my God. They're going to have a field day with this case. Now, that's going to be a fun case to watch. Bringing in all those angry, pissed off workers. They're all union. Yep. And several left before the shooting. They said, screw you, Alex, we're out of here. They were leaving that set. They had scabs. I mean, my God, for a defense attorney, this is a dream come true. Because you've got all kinds of effed up situations around that movie set. And then he can say, I would say, well, I have a high-profile client, high-profile star. They all hated his guts. He wasn't paying them enough money, blah, blah, blah. And it was just a simple act of revenge on the movie set. And we can prove it to you. Boom, boom, boom. And I can muddy the waters good enough where the jury would say, yeah, you know, something was going on there. I would depose all of those workers who quit. Tell me about your anger about my client. Tell me about your anger about this movie and your lack of pay or not being paid. That's what I would delve into. Oh, my God. They'll say, well, yeah, I was pissed off. Bingo. That's all you need. They were pissed off. They were angry. And I'll say, well, jury, we have four or five ex-workers here that were pissed off. They were angry. Could they have done something? Who knows? Only the shadow knows, as we say in radio, right? And some jurors would say, hey, you know, that's just not enough. I need more intel. I need more evidence. There's not going to be any more evidence. And they all walk down that yellow brick road to the conclusion, which will be exonerate Alec Baldwin. Hate to say it, that's what I see happening there. But they're paying billions of dollars to think stuff up.
He'll be exonerated, or they'll declare some type of mistrial or something. Something will happen.
Something.
He's going to walk away from this. He's going to walk away from it. There ain't no doubt about that. Okay. That's a given.
Well, that's why those Hollywood attorneys live in mansions in Malibu overlooking the ocean. They have all day to sit around and go, a high-profile client, and, man, it's my job to get – this guy's paying me on retainer $1 million. I'm sure Alec is already shelled out a ton of money. That's what pisses off Alec Baldwin, is spending the money that he has to spend to get the best. And the best aren't cheap. And they will charge. And that's one thing that you can be happy about. On one weird hand is that they will charge him tooth and nail for every paperclip, because he's a big Hollywood star, and they can get it and they can collect.
Okay.
So his legal fees, I think, are worth millions. It will impoverish him a little bit, if that makes you feel better. It's going to cost him big. He'll get off. It's going to cost him, in my view, $5 million or more to get off. In America, if you have money, you get it. It's your get out of jail free card, guys. If you don't have money, if you're a working stiff, like the rest of us, we don't have those kinds of funds, right? So we're more at the mercy of the legal system. But if you're Alec Baldwin or a rich guy, you can get yourself off.
Well, you know, it's like the old saying goes that with the legal system. You could compare the legal system to a prostitute. The more you pay it, the more you can F it. And that's true. If you have the money, if you've got the money.
That's the best analogy ever.
money, you know, money talks and BS walks, as the old saying goes. And one more quick point on Pelosi and Biden. Did you see the clip where he was, I don't know, being something, interviewed by Pelosi, I think it was today or yesterday or something, and all of a sudden they shut him off and you could hear Pelosi in the background saying, "We don't want him talking."
I heard that. Yeah, in fact, she said that many times before too. She's calling the shots there, Pelosi. We don't want him talking. We don't want him in front of the cameras. Yep. And she orders the cameras to turn off, and the media obeys her in D.C.
Yep.
They obey her. Mm-hmm. What a witch she is.
Oh, yeah, evil. I mean, absolutely evil. So that only proves who's running the show. It ain't him.
Oh,
That's for darn.
He's being handled. Yeah, he's being handled by many, many people. Gunslinger, thank you, man. Good talking to you about the Alec Baldwin trial. That's a cool one for the show. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Have a nice night. Later.
You know it. Have a great night, sir. Great night. Let's get to a new caller here, I believe. And hello, you're on the Von Wehent Show. What is your name? Hello,
well,
you're on the Von Wehent Show live.
Reporting.
JD, I thought that was you. How are you doing, man?
Yes.
You know what? We've been playing some phone tag.
Right.
Good, folks. JD's got a great show. He and I had our own shows on KFNX 1100 AM back in the day. And JD, great to hear your voice, man. I want to hear your thoughts, man. We haven't talked in a while. There is a lot of stuff going on, isn't there?
There certainly is. And JD reporting on the Von Wehent Show as requested, sir. General Wehent reporting for duty. And with your permission, sir, I'd like to give you my 2 cents on the Alec Baldwin.
Yes, permission granted.
Baldwin revelation. Revelation of today. And
yes, come aboard.
I got some ridicule from my friends when all this first happened, when I said, "You watch. They'll use this for an anti-firearms campaign, and it will be led by Alec Baldwin." Now, that was followed by a week later, him walking down that road with that video claiming that he's going to go on a campaign for gun safety. So I wasn't a prophet. I just understand how the left works. Now, you guys were earlier talking about how he's paying for the best attorneys. I would like to point out a nuance that may have been missed by many people. I listened to that woman, his attorney, say over and over again, it was a misfire. And after he said, you know, he didn't pull the trigger, it was a misfire. Now, 2 things. First of all, anybody listening to the Von Wehent Show is going to know that a misfire is what happens when you are shooting at a target or defending yourself, but probably out target shooting, and you pull the trigger and nothing happens because there's a defect in the cartridge. That is a misfire.
Yes.
Now, these attorneys do not misspeak. They purposely use the term misfire, whereas everybody assumed that they meant unintentional discharge. Two totally 180-degree opposed things. Now, listen up.
Yes.
They're tricky. The reason they use the term misfire is because they are going to turn this into a campaign to prove how unsafe all firearms are, and therefore they have to go around and scoop them all up to protect the children, don't you know? And I'm telling you, Von Wehent, we live in a society where people are so damned stupid. 2/3 of the people in this country can't make change for a dollar. They'll put 2-3 masks on. They'll jab themselves with a damn needle. They'll listen to Anthony Fauci. They'll do whatever they're told. So it's not far-fetched to think that if Alec Baldwin becomes the national spokesperson for anti-guns because he accidentally killed somebody with one, that's how dangerous they are, don't you know? After all, it can misfire all on its own. there are idiots, enough idiots in this country to scoop that up like ice cream and eat it all day long. And that's where they're going with this Alec Baldwin thing. Furthermore, I would not be surprised, it's my opinion only, you lawyer types out there, it's only my opinion. I think that he probably intentionally shot that woman to death because there was something going on that he couldn't have her mouth open up and talk about. Now, maybe that's a little cynical on my part, but if you know the character of a man like Alec Baldwin, he is the most slovenly, disgusting piece of filth of a human being in the way he conducts himself with his daughter, his family, and everything else. Character is defined by one's deeds. And when you know what you know about Alec Baldwin, you can't unknow it. So my mind can't help to go the direction that I already stated on your show. And when it comes to the left, if anybody knows how to call the left, it's you and I. And I'm telling you, this is an attempt. This is the gun grabber's attempt to get street cred about guns are dangerous. Look at this. That gun went off by itself and killed that poor woman and made a victim of Alec Baldwin. That's where they're headed. It's not even about exonerating him. That's no question that's going to happen. But what can they use it for politically down the line? And that's where my mind goes. When I hear a woman attorney, like you said, a high-dollar attorney, misspeak on national news and use the term misfire instead of unintentional discharge. What do you think my analysis, sir?
I think you're spot on, JD. I totally agree with that assessment. I thought the same
and you didn't
thing.
Hear that
we're
any,
thinking along the same
else,
lines.
Either.
Nope. Have not. That is brilliant. Absolutely, man. Now we talked a little bit about the Alec Baldwin case in the past few weeks, where you know we talked about the terminologies, what you're talking about. And one thing that I'll tell you too, that I have some spies up there in New Mexico. And they're telling me, this is just, again, conjecture about Alec Baldwin. It's just conjecture. It's opinion only. It's rampant rumor and allegations. It's just for entertainment purposes, but I'll tell them to you anyway. That in the local bars up there in Santa Fe and Albuquerque and New Mexico, the Alec Baldwin case is quite the hit, big topic of conversation. Now, a lot of people said that, I won't name the bar or the town or the city, but Alec Baldwin, as we know, is a big drinker, right? And he's been in some of those bars before the shooting. He was bitching and moaning, allegedly, about certain people on the set, things of that nature. I told everyone about them quitting en masse. He had a lot of personnel problems. You know, Alec Baldwin is not your lovable HR director, right? He was the producer of that flick. And he had a lot of personnel issues there, a lot of disgruntled, pissed-off employees. So these people are telling me that he was talking a lot about how many problems he was having with people on set. And also, part two of this conversation is that lady who got shot, you know, the cinematographer, he and her were allegedly arguing about our friend Donald J. Trump, I have found out, right before it was a heated exchange, a big argument, allegedly. I had nothing to back it up but my great imagination and my spies, who said that was what everyone is talking about up there in New Mexico way, that they were having a big argument. Alec took that gun and said, F you, and fired it and shot her, allegedly, once again. I've got to say that in triplicates for those of you who don't listen. This is pure conjecture. Now, that's what I'm hearing, JD. That's pretty interesting stuff. But can't you see Alec getting pissed off and yelling and arguing about Donald Trump on set? I sure can.
Oh, absolutely, because if you remember – years ago, probably 10 years ago or so now, Sean Hannity did a huge expose on Alec Baldwin and his temper with his daughter, called her every name in the book, the little girl. And it was just, this is the kind of disgusting human being that is really capable of doing virtually anything when you piss them off. So I wouldn't discount the rumor necessarily, even though it seems so outlandish that any human being would do that. If there is a human being that would do something like that, I personally believe it would be Alec Baldwin. So, you know, I on the bigger picture on that, not to beat the dead horse, but the left misusing the leftist lawyer that would even dare defend a slug like Alec Baldwin, they are all in on the bigger agenda, which is confiscation of firearms in the United States of America. And they do this a little bit at a time, and they've lost a lot of ground, and then every once in a while they gain some ground, and then they lose it, and they gain some. They're going to gain some ground because there's a lot of idiots in this country. And when they use the word misfire, that is setting up the scenario where they're going to gaslight everybody into thinking that firearms can just fire themselves and kill people, and that's how dangerous they are, and they're going to use that as an excuse to scoop them all up. And that's exactly where I see this going, because if they can get away with the stuff they're getting, let me tell you, the legal system in this country is probably so corrupt that it's nothing short of a miracle that Kyle Rittenhouse got a fair shake by a jury. Now, the fair shake ends with the jury, because now Kyle Rittenhouse cannot do anything a normal person can do in this country, because the media has him convicted as a murdering white supremacist. Now, the idiots in this country that can't make change for a dollar all believe and buy in that shit. So now, oh, pardon my language, sir. But what's going on is...
Oh, you're fine. I agree.
This is what's happening, and it's. I had a discussion with a friend of mine just an hour ago about, he was talking about Merle Haggard 20 years ago having the same political discussions as what they're having now. So what's the difference? And I said, listen, this is the difference. Alec Baldwin can 2 weeks ago go on public and admit an accidental killing of one of his employees on the set, 2 weeks later come out and tell everybody, the same guy, tell everybody he never pulled the trigger after he virtually admitted it 2 weeks ago. It's called gaslighting, and that would have never flown. That would even fly in the media 5 years ago, let alone 20 years ago. So there is the difference, because now we live in a non-reality reality where anything goes. The narrative of the left of the day, no matter if they said the opposite thing the day before, it makes no difference. The media will run with it. You can present fact after fact after fact after study after study after study to the media, and they will not acknowledge anything against the coronavirus narrative, for one thing, just for an example, okay? And every bit of evidence points to the fact that not only the Delta variant, but now this new bullcrap Omicron variant are caused by the people getting the injection. In fact, there's no one that has been anywhere in the world that has showed up with Omicron that has not been fully vaccinated with this poison.
That's right.
So if they get away with this, and even the people that are supposed to be on our side, people that supposedly love America, have bought into this vaccine crap, hook, line, and sinker. Either that, or they don't have the courage to come out and speak against it. You're now starting in a few exceptions to that, such as Tucker Carlson, such as the great Laura Logan, who is very connected to the deep state, who has now basically turned on the deep state and come out on Fox News, of all places, one of the most corporate media, you know, the 10% truth station, Fox News. You know, you have 0% truth everywhere else, 10% truth on Fox News. Laura Logan has come out and told everybody that the world considers Anthony Fauci Joseph Mengele. Everybody's saying it, but you will not hear media talk about this. Now,
I've been calling that for months. Right.
Of course you have, because we, you and I and folks like us are the alternative media. We are not powered by the corporate overlords that run governments in the world. We are just opinion expressing people that we gather the facts, then we form opinions, and then we go on the air and we share them with our audiences. So they don't own us. So, of course, we have done this analysis and we are expressing it. I'm doing analysis on what's going on with the mainstream media right now. You and I, Ron, we know what's going on. We have for many years. We call it ahead of time and then watch it happen. I mean, that's what goes on. And you watch with this Alec Baldwin thing. That's going to turn into an anti-gun campaign. Mark my friggin' words.
I agree.
Anyway, I didn't mean to scattergun all over the place, but I want to finish up with this Laura Logan thing. This woman has come out and thrown her, basically her whole ticket to prosperity away because they're going to attack the hell out of her and try to discredit her now. Somebody that's been in journalism maybe 35 years. It's one of the most respected globe-trotting reporters that there ever was who has now chose to tell the truth at this late date. Of course, she's always been good, but I mean now right in their face on Fox News. And I saw the reaction of Judge Jeanine, who she was being interviewed by at the one of the times that she did it, because she did it repeated times now. And Judge Jeanine was trying to interrupt her and stop her because Judge Jeanine knows that their main sponsor, Pfizer, cannot allow that, it will not approve of this kind of talk being on her show. And Judge Jeanine, even though she knows the truth, is going to try and protect her show from that. But Laura Logan just powered right through it. And here that Dr. Siegel was on the other frame, nodding his head up and down yes to everything Laura was saying. But if you ever hear Siegel going, he's going to talk about the vaccine and get the booster and all that kind of stuff. So these people know the truth, because when somebody says it like Laura Logan and Siegel sitting there shaking his head up and down, but listen to what he says whenever he talks. It's an incongruent situation. He says stuff that doesn't make any sense. If he thinks they're evil, giving us this shot, he should say that. But they don't have the courage of their own conviction, most of them, because you know why? It's not easy, because if you stand up, you're a target. Look at Tucker Carlson, had to change, move from Washington, D.C. to Maine and hide his family. Yeah, who wants do that, Vaughn? Okay, so.
Well, he had death threats. The militant leftists are that deranged where they don't want to silence
everybody
you, kill people. Yeah.
Anybody that speaks up gets death threats. I'm getting weird calls because of what I've been saying on my show. I get people calling me up, and, you know, you use the VPN now, so you never know where a number's coming from, really, you know. So, you know, and I have to answer them because I have so many things going on. And, you know, I get people, you know, sinister laughs. They come on there and they say stuff like, "We know where you are." You know, they do crap like that. And, you know, I've been getting a lot of that, but I don't care. Anybody that stands up is going to get attacked. That's what the left is doing. They're going all out. They're going full gaslight. They're going to lie in your face on a daily basis. You saw Anthony Fauci on 60 Minutes when that reporter asked him about Ted Cruz calling him out and saying that he believes the Justice Department ought to indict him. And she asked him, "What do you think about that?" And he laughed. And if you saw his face, he's petrified. He didn't laugh out of arrogance. He laughed out of fear. And then he said, "You know what I say to that? I say, what about January 6th? senator. Now,
that's
think
right.
About this. What a non sequitur. A total ad hominem response to a very good question by the reporter who let him off the hook after that, subsequently, I might add. But his response tells volumes about where he is right now as far as how he thinks he's winning this war. It tells you that he is absolutely petrified, because if he didn't try to discount the fact that Cruz called for his indictment on a factual basis and argue that and rebut that, he didn't do that. He said he tried to impugn Ted Cruz's character by saying, what about January 6th, throwing all his eggs in that fraudulent basket. So that is very telling.
That's right.
So there, the whole theme of this line of consciousness is that we are gaining ground in this information war, and that's what it is. We have to be out there telling people the truth, making people think. Because here's how I see it in the big picture as far as what's going on in the world today, sir. What, you know, you don't see it. It's like camouflage, you know. You're not seeing it. It's like, let's say you're fishing and you're watching the fish coming, about ready to bite your lure. All your attention is on that. Meanwhile, on the side, in your side vision, there's an alligator that's about ready to eat your ass, right? But you don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, something makes you turn and look at that alligator. Now, in that situation, are you going to be able to unsee that alligator? No, you're not. You're going to know that sucker's there. And that's how I am, and that's how you are. Because we see the alligator. You understand what I'm saying? Well, our job
we
is
do.
To get other people to see. Our job is to get other people to see the alligator, Vaughn.
That's right.
And
that's right.
They don't. Because two-thirds of the people in this country can't make change for a dollar. Now, they might if you give enough time.
I know.
Okay? But most of them can't make change for a dollar inside of 10 seconds like you and I can. There's no way they can.
Right.
So let me ask you this question. Given that two-thirds of my estimate, okay, two-thirds of the people in this country cannot make change for a dollar in under 10 seconds. I think that's a pretty fair statement from what I've seen. So
I do too.
Fact,
for sure.
Given that observation, I should say, not fact, then try to picture this. I can right now on your show, off the top of my head, go down all kinds of statistics about what's going on with vaccine deaths and all this kind of stuff, and parse it all out, where the sources are from, give you all the numbers. How are you going to reach somebody by doing that can't make change for a dollar? Think about that. This is why they have been successful in, you know, taming the spirit of America with fear, because people can't think on their feet quick enough to understand that the whole thing is smoke and mirrors. People don't get it. Good people like Sean Hannity are convinced that the vaccine is what you should do. Dan Bongino got double vax. Guess what? He got COVID. But nobody's talking about this on our side. They just go on like the vaccine works and you should do it. And now that the moronic variant is out there, you should get a couple of extra jabs. And those are people on our side. So I'm trying to sound the alarm on your show tonight just so people understand how much trouble we really are in. Because even the soldiers on our side have bought into all the propaganda. And this is a very, very, very dangerous situation.
God, I love it. Love that, JD. But you're right. On my show, we've been talking about a few things, and namely on the vaccine side. Look, I have told people for years, and you are spot on, that JD's right, folks. We are the alternative media, shows like his, shows like mine. There are people in the radio business who you hear And I've warned you before, 3-4 hours a day, these guys are on the air. From Sean to Bongino, and they have great shows. And
they won't say this stuff. They won't say this
My
stuff.
Point is, yep, I'm getting there. My point is, you have to understand that though there's a lot of, and I won't name any more names per se, but there's a lot of well-intentioned people, I'll put it that way. A lot of people who are well-intentioned, but they are bought and paid for all over the spectrum, and they are corporate rhino radio. We've been talking about this for months on my show now, JD, about this corporate rhino guys. There's a ton of people who say they're right-wing and they're conservative and they're the best Republican you ever met. And they will not say anything that isn't the RNC talking points bottom line. If they will never go out on a limb. They don't talk about anything other than what's safe because they don't want to piss off that sponsor. Like I say, no one's giving me $1 million or you $1 million. I don't have corporate sponsors lined up for my show. You know what they tell me when I've been to several of them? I've been to some gold brokerages. You know how they're always selling gold and silver on a lot of these shows? I've been to them. And many have said, well, Vaughn, we love you. We like you. We secretly listen to you and love every word of it. But we can't sponsor you. You're just too strong. You just put it out there too much. We need a safer show to sell to Grandpa and Grandma Kettle in America. And you know what?
That's what I've been told. I've been told
there's
by
a big
this particular financial group.
Yeah, just hold the thought. There's a big brokerage here in Phoenix that sells gold and silver. And I had a talk with their CEO about sponsoring the Vaughn Wehan show, and I pitched them twice, and they inquired to me once, but that came back loud and clear. You're just too wild for us. You're too much of a truth teller. Go ahead, man.
That's funny you should say that, because some people I've done business with and actually become personal friends with across the country in the financial, actually the trading education business, okay? And they have a great setup. And I have actually two of these sponsors over my time. And the latest one called me up and said, hey, we want to sponsor your show. We not only want to give you a free membership to everything that we do, we want to incorporate you. We want you to share your knowledge of trading with us and interact with us. We want to give you a membership, but we want to sponsor your radio program. I said, well, okay, man, let's go. And then I said, well, here's what I've been doing. And I shot him my link of my, Article 5 Live podcast. And then I called him up and I said, we started talking. Oh, yeah, we got to get this going. We'll talk about it with our producer, we're our ad guy and all that. And he said, but, you know, you might have to back off just a little bit. I said, oh, really, huh?
Uh-huh.
I said, I'm going to have to back off. I guess what? After I heard that, I said, well, you know what? I got some things to do. I'll talk to you later. And I haven't called him back. And that was like 6 months. I'd rather carry the freight of my show myself than compromise what I'm going to say in order to get a sponsor. I'm not going to do that.
I'm the same way, JD. We're cut from the same cloth there. Yeah, and I agree. That's the response I've gotten time and time again.
When we were on radio here in Phoenix, we both had paying sponsors, and never did any of them ever tell us what we could say on the radio. I know yours didn't,
mine
sure as hell didn't either.
No.
I had probably
five or six
different sponsors that never – actually, it was more than that over the years. I probably had about 10 different sponsors, and never a one of them said, hey, you can't say that. And the station owner never said, hey, you can't say that on my station. Now you got station owners that are trying to control content. You got sponsors that say, yeah, we'd love to sponsor you, but you can't say this, you can't say that. You know, it's all part of the same thing, is to quell the opinions of those who are actually plugged into the facts They don't want that stuff out there, or your sponsor doesn't want to be associated with somebody delivering the facts because it'll make them a target. It's all part of this cancel culture stuff, and they're afraid of it. And even if they're on our side, they don't want to injure their income. They're not willing to put anything out on the line. They have no courage of their own convictions. And this is very disturbing, because without character, we're not going to beat these devils at their own game.
Well said, JD. And you're right. A lot of these people that are on what I call corporate rhino radio, folks, 3-4 hours a day, they bombard the airwaves. But just remember, when you're listening to them, what JD said and what I'm going to say next is, don't forget, I'm not saying they sold their soul necessarily, but I am saying that they have had to quell and bite their lip to get sponsors so they could be on the air 3-4 hours a day nationwide on call sign radios. So when you hear these guys, understand what you're listening to. It is watered down RNC talking points at best. A lot of their opinion. One guy talks about his ham sandwich or lunch. One guy talks about a bunch of gibberish who's on every day. He doesn't get to the meat of anything. All he talks about is how great he is, or he brings up stupid anecdotal things, and he makes you think he's a right-wing radio talk show host. And I just sit there and smile and go, you said one substantial thing so far. Go ahead, man.
With your permission, I'm going to call out some of these hosts by name on your show, or would you prefer I didn't do that?
Well, I would rather that if you do say their name, I would like you to say some good things they do and maybe some bad things.
All right.
To be objective.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm talking about the Phoenix market, but this is a national. It's what our dear friend, our dear departed, the late Rush Limbaugh, his replacement is so substandard to what the EIB network could have been in post-Rush. We have running a show. First of all, whoever heard of this Clay guy? Nobody. Nobody ever heard of him. Buck Sexton, he was on the Blaze Network for a while. And these guys are not bad people, okay? And I believe that their general message is, certainly, people listen to that. It's certainly better to than people listening to, the news media or some other leftist, on the cable news or whatever.
Sure.
But it's so watered down and so 2 years behind what's going on. I mean, these people are finally catching up to the fact that the coronavirus reaction is a total mind control a setup for a frickin' martial law around the world. They're just now starting to figure it out. We've been screaming it from the rooftops ever since
right.
It started. I've been down personally down. I've been downtown at the Copper Dome in Phoenix with my bullhorn instructing Doug Ducey to read the Bill of Rights over and over again with thousands of people. I've done this
right
time and time again, and but now we have Buck Sexton and Clay. What's his face are finally coming up to the idea. Well, gee, this is a violation of people's constitutional rights. Well, you think, Buck? You think, Clay? How about this guy who is all over social media that all of a sudden now and I like the guy. I think he says a lot of good stuff. I get sent his videos from about 20 different people all the time. If I can think of his name, Ben Ferguson. He's on Sunday night in the Phoenix market. And he's a good guy, and he's definitely a patriot.
Mm-hmm.
But my God, the stuff he says is so friggin' obvious that I don't really have time to listen to people who are saying, you know what, 2 + 2, you know, equals 4. And he says it in a manner like it's politically, like
right.
It's some sort of
That's
a revelation,
great.
Okay? I mean, so I'm not
He's
trying
brilliant.
To, of course, these guys have to tone down. I don't know what's in a man's heart, okay? I only can judge
right.
by what they say publicly, these people. So you're probably
mm-hmm.
right. They have to water their message down in order, order to retain revenue flow through their education.
Yes. These guys
so
believe
I don't see a lot
that,
of value in that.
I agree. And, J.D., these guys feel that they, from all these national shows, I have heard all of them as you have, and there are always a lot of cringeworthy moments. They, on purpose, and I am pretty upfront and pretty blatant about it, they've all, there's so many to a name, I just lump them all with a broad stroke and go, they all water down their message, and don't forget, they're getting cash paid daily to tell you what you want to hear into the sponsors now. It's a very upside down radio market, and they're very powerful, and they tell them what to say. Now, they'll come on the air and act all ballsy and machismo. Oh, no one tells me what to say. BS. More Bernie Sanders. They are told, don't go here. Don't go down this rabbit hole. Don't you dare go down that branch. We don't want you to. It's not safe. And you can tell by the show. And you're right. They're you know, it kind of reminds me, J.D., of that Guinness beer commercial where the guy goes, brilliant. You know, when they go, the sky is blue. Brilliant. Oh, my God. This
exactly.
is like high 5D chess and algebra. They'll say Trump is now gone and Biden is the president. And we're going to do our best to get along with him, yada, yada. I go, brilliant. I mean, it's very sophomore, is what I'm saying, very junior league things that they say. There's very little meat. It's like that Wendy's commercial back in the 80s. Where's the beef? Those little old ladies, where's the beef? I hear a lot of conjecture, you know?
Yeah, and we've tried to set apart a few Republicans that we think have strength. And, for instance, recently, Ms. Boebert, Boebert probably is how you should say her name, mm-hmm. from Colorado, you know, getting into it with Ilhan Omar, the absolute
mm-hmm.
Spawn of Satan, in my view, that happens
right.
to be in the House of Representatives, and she's bowing down to her, basically, and saying, oh, I'm sorry, I don't
yeah.
want to offend anybody. Let me just say this. If you're not offending someone when you're speaking, you're not saying anything that anybody needs to hear.
That's right.
I'm sorry that's the way things are, but that's just the truth of the matter. If you're not offending someone, then why don't you stop wasting energy by moving air around a room and causing vibrations in the air that no one needs? Because I'm telling you what, we live in times that are absolutely consequential. Every single thing matters. Words matter, how they're said matters, and you absolutely must have a message. Otherwise, you're freaking irrelevant. I don't care how much sponsor money you are raking in. If you're afraid to tell the truth in fear of losing that money, you are not only doing yourself a disservice spiritually, you need to get the frick out of the way and let people that are not afraid to tell the truth have your megaphone. Because if you want to save the largesse that is the United States of America that gave you that cushy spot, that gave you the ability to have steak 3 nights a week if you want, and then turkey and ham on Thanksgiving, that created this bounty, the country that created this bounty, if you want that continue, you better stop being a chicken S and start telling the truth, even if it costs you money. You cowards, you cucked Republicans, Republicuck. Stop it. Start telling the truth. And if you're not smart enough to know what the truth is, get the hell off the air and let some people that are smart enough to tell the truth start talking to the people and waking these people up that can't make change for a buck in under 10 seconds.
God, I love it. Phenomenal, JD, phenomenal.
You would think I should have a talk show or something, right, dude?
You should have a radio talk show. By the way, the folks, we've been talking to JD, our VIP guest tonight on the Von Wehen Show. We're so glad he was able to call in tonight. Tell the folks how to reach you and hear your show.
Listen, I have value in live extemporaneous speech. So my show goes live every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, no matter what time of the year is. We don't observe daylight saving time in my neck of the woods. So 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time around the calendar on Sunday night. Also, if you're around the world somewhere listening, that's 0300 Zulu. Monday, 0300 Zulu. 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. The show is Article 5 Live. You can catch me on the Article 5 Live Facebook page, on the Article 5 Live YouTube channel when I don't have two strikes, which right now I think I'm on YouTube right now. When I get up to two strikes, I stop broadcasting on YouTube because I don't want 6 years of my content to be taken down. So I wait for one of the strikes to drop off, and then I go back on. But I'm always under one or two strikes, at least, on YouTube. Right now, I'm currently on YouTube, live, at 8 p.m. All these are live. I'm still on Twitter for now. I mean, I was last week. I don't know what's going to happen now with the new CEO. But they have me so far shadow banned. Nobody can get my channel unless you go to it at Article 5 Hour. I'm JD at Article 5 Hour on Twitter. That's another place to catch it. The Article 5 Live Rumble channel. Yes, indeed. I'm on Rumble as well. And all these are simulcast. Oh, I'm also on Twitch, you guys. Article 5 Live on Twitch. All right? And sometimes I'm on DLive. Sometimes I'm on LinkedIn. And it's all simulcast. Whenever I do go on these platforms, 8 p.m. Sunday night, it's Article 5 Live with your humble host, yours truly, JD, and we go over some of these things, and we have interesting chat comment from all aggregated chat, telephone calls. Sometimes we have guests. Sometimes you just have to put up with me. It depends on what mood I'm in. And, man, I'll tell you what, we're talking about sponsors on weekend. I really don't like the idea of giving up that freedom I found. I'm the engineer. I take the calls. I run the show, and I do the videos and all that stuff while I'm on the air talking to you. And the only situation I can see better than that is being back in the old KFNX studio with old Norman Breese behind the glass.
That was great. Those were good days.
Because
a real radio hand.
You were free to just do your show and not worry about anything.
We can't be bought, JD. I've told sponsors to take a hike before, too.
Yeah, and
take a hike.
Back in those days, the owner of the station, even though when you talk to him about it, the former owner of that station, he won't admit to the fact. He wants to be the big New Yorker guy that, I was just in it for the money. But the fact of the matter is, he was protecting the First Amendment, the freedom of the press. He don't like to admit
yes,
it.
He was.
He likes to think, I'm the businessman.
That's
I just
right.
Did it
big,
for
big
money.
Businessman.
Bull crap.
I let him think
Bull
that.
Crap. He was the only place. It was the bastion of the First Amendment in the Phoenix area for 20 years under his leadership. And if we can somehow support that man to get his hands on another radio station, that would actually be a good thing.
Well, we're working on that. He's emailed me. I'm sure he's emailed you. He's got a new media company. We'll see how it goes. But right now, he's just buying and selling the airtime. But Yeah, those were some very, very good days. At KFNX, we were called Renaissance Radio by a lot of people because we were the new radio renaissance man, so to speak, over the airwaves. You, me, and the D-Man. And our three shows were like the powerful triad, you know. But, JD, thanks a lot for being on the Von Wehunt Show. Add this to your credentials and your resume. Love you, man.
Give me 30 seconds. I want to ask you a quick question if you got it.
Got it. Sure.
Okay. You were always on at the same time, correct?
Well, yes.
On KFNX. All right. Get this. I started out at 8 p.m. Wednesday night. Then I moved to 8 p.m. Sunday night. Then I moved to 4 p.m. Sunday afternoon. Then I moved to Saturday morning at 7 p.m. You know what? Every single one of those time slots, I was able to build an audience because there was such a need for the types of shows you and I and the D-Man and a few others that are worthy of mention did. So I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak with your audience. I appreciate it very much. And Godspeed, General Wehunt, keep delivering the message to the people that can hear. And I will do the same, my friend.
Absolutely, my friend. JD, thanks so much for being on the Von Wehunt Show. We love you, man. Have a great holiday season. We'll stay in touch, buddy. Have a great night. Thank you so much.
You too, sir. Bye-bye. See you, everybody.
Thank you. Folks, JD, great radio host here in the Phoenix area. Catch his show, Article 5 Live, which he talked about. And, my God, he's all over the Internet, Facebook, et cetera. Rumble, check it out. Article 5 Live. Yeah, JD and I, we had a lot of fun there in the radio station, and the owner was from New York. And no, everyone always asked me, no, he was not Jewish, he was Italian. He was super cool, and we had some great shows. And that's when it was like the Wild West here in Phoenix. I mean, AM radio took off here in the mid-2010, so to speak, and we were part of that. And it was great. Maybe he'll get a new station. He's been trying to acquire some new ones. What we've got in a lot of these big cities, like I told you before, and JD knows this, is there's a lot of corporate rhino radio. And so when you listen to these guys on of the air, I mean, all they want to talk about is really nothing for 3 hours. Have you ever listened to one of those shows for 3 or 4 hours? And I always ask myself this one question. Have I learned anything new in 3 hours by listening to this guy? Chances are the answer is no. I've learned nothing new. I simply was talked to death. And that's what we need in America. We need more action and less talking. You know what I mean? Well, does your town sound like this? Does your town, is it being invaded by people that you can't stand?
All right, folks. Calm down. Go about your business. These jokers will be gone soon. Now, why y'all want to come into my town and start trouble? And scare all these nice people? You ain't got nothing better to do than to come into Bill Sharp's town and show your ass.
From the streets of America. With that, let's get to flyover country in Lincoln. We haven't spoke for a few weeks here. Lincoln, how are you doing tonight, man? What's the news from the front lines? What do you got for me, man?
Hey, how's it going, brother, man? I'm sorry. I'm unfortunately, this happened to me again where I missed a lot of your show. I had it on and I was listening to it, but then one of my best friends called with like an important thing to talk about. I was listening kind of to your show, but I was also talking to him, and it was kind of a distraction. So I'll go back and listen to it like completely tomorrow. But I heard some of it, not all of it. It was just bits and pieces.
Sure. I know that's kind of annoying when you're trying to hear a great radio show like the Von Wehunt Show and a great VIP guest of JD and other callers, and you got somebody blaring in your ear about the latest drama right in the neighborhood. Could be good or bad. Maybe you had to be there for them, and you're a good friend for doing that. But that's why we have the podcast. So in case folks ever missed the show, go back to Blog Talk, go in the archives. You know what to do. All the shows are there. Now, if you want some real old Von Wehunt Show shows from my KFNX days, I have posted about 70 of those on SoundCloud.com. So if you want to hear me back in the moments of 2015, 2016, 2017, you name it, go to SoundCloud. You can hear some great shows there as well, and all kinds of callers from the Phoenix area. And so, but what's on your mind tonight, Lincoln? What's going on, man?
Well, I guess the thing that's on my mind, the thing I'd like to talk about, really is the whole Lakeisha thing that happened with Daryl Brooks.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Go for
you
it.
Know,
what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are very simply this. Call them controversial, call it quote-unquote racist if you want, but my thoughts are that people forget that we were literally forced to integrate at gunpoint. We never voted to integrate and combine and live together. We never voted on that. We were forced at gunpoint to integrate with one another. And, you know, shit like that is a result of that. That's my honest thoughts on that. I'm not saying I have a problem. I'm just saying that I think that we're all better off being around your own people. And shit like that
sure.
Wouldn't happen.
Yeah. Look, this country's been forced together by the gun many times. Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of incidents, right? I mean, you could take the kids in Little Rock being forced at bayonet point to do things that, again, and this isn't about right, wrong, or indifferent. We all know that the federal government has an agenda, and their agenda has always been to control the little people they call us in flyover country and middle America. They want you – what they don't like, when Lincoln – I think you would kind of agree with this. They don't like the way we think about society. They don't like the way we view it. They don't like our perceptions of it. They want you to gloss over all that. They want you to submerge your true self, your true heritage or your true identity, and they want you to be part of this big melting pot. And now, while they live behind big walls and they have security with guns and they live in very posh mansions in D.C. and all over the country, they want you and me and the listeners to live right next door to the invaders, right next door to the people who hate you the most, the people who despise you. Because don't forget, all the people that have come over here from the third world, they're not coming over here always to work like Grandpa did, right? Right in the burrow over the border is my figurative vision. They are told that it's unfair that you have all this stuff and they're here to get your stuff. Now, they'll get it through welfare, through wealth redistribution, but their goal is not to blend in with you. It's not to be your friend. It's not to assimilate with you and hold your hand and sing Kumbaya. We don't live in that kind of a world. I wish we did personally, but I'm a brutal realist as the Germanic warlord of the airwaves. And so it's not that we don't want us. We want a true society, right, with lasting peace. But all the people that are coming over here, not all, but I'd say the vast majority, whatever happens when the TV cameras are on them, they flip them off. They say F America. They burn the flag at the first drop of a hat, right? Well, if you just came to America, why are you burning the flag? Why are you telling the whole country to F off? See? What do you think, Lincoln?
Well, I was having a conversation with someone tonight about that. Well, I have conversations about this at work today, but several times. Not today at work, but in the past at work it's happened, several times. And I was telling someone about that tonight on Telegram. Which was, it absolutely drives me nuts when I hear every different, how do I word this nicely, different demographics all saying how much they hate white people. And then when I look at your average white person, they say, oh, I don't see race. We're all the same. Well, they see race. And you look at it and say, I don't see race. I love when I get that argument from, I love when a coworker tells me that, when they say, oh, I'm colorblind, I don't see race, we're all the same. I immediately respond, I love it when they tell me that, because I immediately respond back and I say, okay, really? Do you really feel that way? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to make you a deal. Tonight around midnight, I'm going to take you, and I'm going to drop you off into an all-white neighborhood, or take you to the midnight area near me, and drop you off there and let you walk a mile, and I'll wait for you to pick you up. And then once you get back, I'm going to drive you to the ghetto and have you walk four blocks, and you tell me which one you felt safer in, and then tell me you don't see race and we're all the same, either you're colorblind.
Sure. And what do they say about that?
No one has ever taken me up on that to this day, and I know they're awake. I mean, they're late-night people, too.
Are they woke?
Kind of jobs
are they woke people? Yeah, well, see, this is,
oh,
this
no,
is
no,
what we're
they're
talking
devout,
about.
They're devout conservatives. They're devout conservatives.
Right,
these are
strange, exactly.
Ron, you know that.
Conservatives are these rhino Republicans, and they to me are the scourge of the party. These are people who love to talk in flowery language about, oh, let's just sing Kumbaya. I always tell them, we love Kumbaya. I would love to do that. The problem is America has never been like that. America is not the land of Kumbaya. It's not Shangri-La either. So get those flowery thoughts out of your mind. Having said that, I tell everybody, right, left, or indifferent, I treat everybody cool until they prove me wrong. When they prove me wrong, then we're going to have a big, big, big problem. But I don't go looking for trouble, and I don't go cruising the wrong neighborhoods looking for trouble. And I told you guys, if anyone's doing that, you're just asking for trouble. Right now, the conservatives say that they're colorblind, yet I always would tell them, too, well, if that's true, then why don't you move into the ghetto? Oh, they start hemming, and they start stuttering, and they start, oh, I can't do that, whatever. I go, look, what? No, put your money where your mouth is. Oh, they don't want to hear that. See, they like to talk about it. They won't do it in reality. I'm a realist. I'm a street guy. So I say, if you won't do it at the ground level, then what you just told me is a bunch of BS to make yourself feel better. Because some conservatives say, oh, I'm a colorblind. Now, in theory, I would give them one little iota of credit. We'd all love to live in a society where things are truly peaceful and colorblind. But when, you know, if you got a lot of hateful minorities around you that want to shank you and kill you and get rid of you, what's the first thing they said? I saw video after video of Minneapolis when they were burning it down, that they said, let's all find the white people and kill them. Now, we'll talk about race on my show, because we'll talk about everything. Everything is on the table. I leave nothing, leave no stone unturned, put it that way. So I saw those videos of the young militant blacks, and I'm going, first of all, it's sad that they're saying that. Who taught them that? But you can rationalize all this stuff and psychoanalyze it. The bottom line is, when you boil it down, there are militant groups out there that hate whitey, to be blunt. Isn't it hip and trendy to hate the white man? You know, we have our own government officials who are white, who are talking to Congress. I said it in my monologue, saying that you in the suburbs, you evil people, with your guns and your money and your bourgeois dogs, screw you, you're domestic terrorists, as they point in your face. That is what they do. And then look, the militants hear it.
If all these people are really colorblind and they don't see race, then why are they talking and bragging about their platinum plans and their first step backs and their record low black unemployment? But we don't see race. We're colorblind. But here you go.
Well, that's my point.
See race.
You can't have it both ways. And I agree with you. Trump overplayed that hand. Look, I know he's a politician. I'm a pragmatist. Look, when you're running for office, guys, if you ever run, if you ever run for student council president, or if you ever run for anything, patrol leader, I was patrol leader of my Boy Scout troop. I'm an Eagle Scout. And when I was running for office, I was befriending every scout, left, right, and indifferent. I didn't care. I wanted their votes. I wanted that position. It's a small concept, but it's the same. Doesn't matter if you're running for anything from high school to college or even in real-time politics. If you're running for Congress, you're trying to get as many people to vote for you as possible. You don't want to run twice. You want to run one time, and you want to win, right? So I get it. While Trump or anybody at the national level has got to, you know what, they have to kiss the ring of a lot of groups that they, but you don't bring it up at every campaign rally. You can't say on the one hand we're all a colorblind society, and then you also say like Trump did, isn't it great, the lowest black unemployment? We get it. I mean, he overplayed that card because too many conservatives were like seals clapping every time he said that, right? And I would go, okay, we know, move on. Let's talk about other things than just low black unemployment, okay? It's great. I'm glad blacks are working. I'm glad Hispanics are working. But my thing to him would be, what about the Hispanics? What about the Asians? Why are you always talking about the blacks? Every campaign, I agree. It was like a broken record. I love the guy. I personally like Trump. I'd vote for him in a heartbeat. He's not perfect, and I criticize him on four or five things, but that's definitely one of them. I agree. He overplayed that. And I would tell him, well, you know, where does that get you at the end of the day? You're not the president now. Yes, you could say it was stolen. The bottom line is you're not in the Oval Office and Biden is. No matter how you want to slice it or dice it, right? So obviously that campaign strategy, it's not the black's fault, but it just did not work the way he thought it was going to. He thought a groundswell of blacks were going to come out and vote for Trump. A lot of them did. But largely in many of those Democrat districts, they're hardcore Democrat, right? And they voted for the Democrats if you look at the numbers.
Sure.
So I just call it spade a spade, pun intended. Go ahead, man.
I thought something else on here, but
all a joke. Look, we are the equal opportunity offender. I offend everybody sooner or later. Go ahead, man.
You brought up a really good thing. You used the word melting pot. Do you know where that term came from? I'm sure you're a history buff like I do. I'm sure like you probably know like that was originally a play from, I believe it was 1909, a play that was written called The Melting Pot.
Yep.
By a Jewish playmaker, which was like how wonderful diversity is. And it's just, we're just one melting pot and we're all the same. And like being diverse is like actually your strength. And, you know, that's always never made sense to me, which is, okay, so the more differences I have with a person is going to make their relationship stronger. Try that with a marriage. So we disagree on everything. We have completely different tastes in music, culture, TV, everything on the planet, but that makes us stronger? No, I disagree with that. But, yeah, that's where that came from. I believe it was 1909, a play
That's right.
By a Jewish playmaker that wrote that play. And, you know, as far as even the Statue of Liberty and the Lazarus, or Lazarus, you know, that stupid sign that says,
oh,
if you're tired, you're hungry, you're poor, blah, 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 blah. That was put there by a Jewish woman named feminist, communist, named Emma Lazarus.
That's
that was
right.
Not the original
That's
Statue
right.
of Liberty, but everyone thinks it was for some reason. It never was until the 1960s.
I always tell people, Lincoln, how many more wretched, poor, homeless, broke people does this country need? That's where I'm, Mr. Pragmatist. I'm going, we don't need millions and millions and millions and billions and trillions of these people coming over here from the third world. We got enough. Aren't they on every street corner in America with a cardboard frickin' sign? I'm so tired of, I mean, if I was the dictator, I'd pick them all up. And they would not be allowed to panhandle or beg. If you can't support yourself, I get it. We got programs for you. But this idea that we have to live with this crap They're in every city. They're all over Phoenix. They're all over every city I go to, this plethora of homeless people that insist on staying out on that street corner. And you got to stare at these crazy people on meth, on drugs, probably criminals, probably felons, and they got to shove that frickin' cardboard sign at you at every stop sign. They're everywhere. We don't need millions more of those people. I'm sorry, we have enough busboys. I'll be blunt. We have enough landscapers in America, and we got enough fruit pickers, really, too. We don't need millions more unskilled people. There's a point where, look, I'm a history buff, as you are. No country, and you can look it up, has ever survived long-term with importing millions of people that hate the country. And a lot of these new people, I'm not saying their grandpa, the older, I have a lot more respect for them, their parents and their grandparents. But this new crop coming up, they are terrible. They have, what gets me is this. And they'll say at the border, I'm oppressed. They're almost crying, these men, you know, that they're supposed to be so machismo, right? At the border, please let me in. I'm being oppressed in my country. If I go back, I'm going to be killed. Please let me in, please, pretty please. I'll be a good citizen. I'll pick your lettuce. Don't worry. I won't be a burden on you. Please let me in, please. They cry. And our Border Patrol or the Democrats go, yeah, we'll let you in. I think you're a good guy. And the minute they get the green light, they turn around and they go, F you, screw you. I'm going to send up for all the benefits I can. I'm going to rape your public treasury. And then your daughter, maybe. Not all of them. They're going to come over here. And boy, does that Mexican bull, just as a figurative language, turn on our Border Patrol. The minute they get over here, it's no longer, I'm oppressed, I'm going to be killed in my country. It's, what are you going to do for me? Where's my check? Where's my mansion? Where's my home? Where's my car? Where are my damn benefits? And that's what I've noticed time and time again. So don't fall for the sob story at the border where they're all humble and they have crocodile tears and the cameras are rolling from CNN. It's all to get you in America to be sympathetic to them, to let them in. When they get in, they do a 180 and they just tell you to go F off. Where's my check? And that's where it begins. And they get into L.A. and they get even more militant. They join La Raza. They join all those groups that want to take over. Reconquista of the Southwest. Big out here. Reconquista. They call it Azatlan. Oh, I've heard of it. Oh, yeah. These are people that have no intention of ever assimilating. All they want to do, they are going country shopping, folks. I'll spell it out for you. They're shopping for the country with the best benefits, with the best welfare package. That is their version of the golden parachute. Where do I get paid the most? Let's see. America. I'm going to go up there. I'm going to cry. I'm going to beg, light, cheat, and steal to get in, to get over there. When I get over there, I'm taking over. So that's where we're at. We've got a lot of people that have come up, and we don't know where these people have come from. They haven't been vaccinated. If you're a vaccination guru like Biden, they're letting them in for free if they want to vaccinate you and me and fire you from your job, right? We don't know what violent gangs they've been in, all these Latino gangs. Now I'm sure there are many good people, hardworking people, people that really need to immigrate. I get it. Now, if I was a young guy in the Hispanic countries, if I wasn't set, I might be walking with them. And I might sneak over, sure. But that's not reality. That's not happening. I'm not like that. But, again, I can see why they would want to come up here. That I get. What I don't get is America's capitulation. What it is, our biggest sin in America is our weakness. We're weak. So many levels.
Absolutely.
That is our
Absolutely.
Greatest sin. Until
our
we can get stronger and get a frickin' spine against the world. The whole world wants to come over here. Are we going to let the whole world in? Hope not.
Brother, our forefathers, much less our older ancestors, our ancient ancestors, our Viking ancestors, you go back further than even our forefathers, I mean, they're ashamed of us as, you know, just as a people, they're ashamed of how weak we are. I'm talking men and women. Women are more masculine than ever. Men are more feminized than ever. Just like trained like fucking sheep. It's disgusting. It's embarrassing, really. I can't imagine what they're looking down thinking about us right now. It's bizarre. They have to be ashamed. How could they not be ashamed? I mean, do you think your ancestors from the 1600s would look down on us right now and be like, oh, well, yeah, they have transgenders now. It's fine. No, they wouldn't say that at all.
I think the ancestors came back, Lincoln, they would say, what in the hell have you kids done? We gave you a great country and we fought for it with our Viking swords and our cavalry swords, and you effing pissed it all away. For what? For you to go to the water cooler now in 2021 and say how great and diverse you are and how much of a diversity thinker you are. That's why we sacrificed our lives and the voyages that we took. Really? Really? I mean, I think they would look at us with utter disgust.
Even our founding fathers, I'm going back before our founding fathers, but even our founding fathers, when you get into like, I don't know who yours are. We've never had this conversation, actually, I don't think. But my personal two favorites are my first favorite. Most people say George Washington. He's not my favorite. Don't get me wrong. I have no problem whatsoever. Great, 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 great man. My personal favorite is Samuel Adams. My second favorite would be the old man, Samuel Whitmore. Love him. And I also love Nathan Hill. That's who I named my son after, was Nathan Hill.
Nice. Well, look, I would say this. I'm the ultimate observer, as I call myself. People have called me that before. This is what I would say about history, and I've looked at American history very carefully, as you have. No country has ever been more generous than America with the whole world. We have opened up our doors to millions and millions of people. I don't see any country that has ever taken in more immigrants than America. Yet, at the same time, we have it's all about the dumbing down of our schools, right? And the education process. They don't teach history anymore. And the key thing about history that I was taught that these young kids today they don't even know what I'm even talking about. If you're a millennial, millennials out there, you're going to have to work five times as hard to get this show because you just don't have, I hate to say it, not trying to burst your bubble, you don't have the educational background. But when I was a kid growing up, I had great teachers, and these were a lot of vets, and they said it right. They go, diversity. America's always been a diverse nation, but it's not what you think. Diversity in 1776 in the colonies was, let's say you're an Irishman, Lincoln. I was a German. Somebody was a Scot. Somebody was maybe from Spain or Denmark or Austria or Ireland or again or Wales or that was the extent of diversity. And they didn't even use the word. That's a new term. They never used the word diversity, but we had diversity, I tell people in the colonies. They go, no, you don't. Yes, we did. We even, you know, I mean, we have people even that came over that were free slaves from the Caribbean. My point is diversity was that. It was not bringing in millions of Chinese, millions of Arabs, millions of people from militant nations who hate us. It was not what it was about. In other words, we all had four or five things in common, as I've always said. We were predominantly all white European ancestry. We had our forefathers had lived under monarchies, kings and queens, for those millennials who don't know what that word means, in Europe, in the Greater Europa. They all were from Christendom. Whether you were a King James guy or Roman Catholic, the bottom line is, I don't want to get into a religious thing, but you all believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior.
The fourth thing was they all had a work ethic. Nobody expected welfare from the colonies. The whites came over, and they started to build a nation. And you could say the fifth common thing was they had a common European heritage, i.e., manners, i.e., they had their own individual languages, but again, very similar customs, right? And with that vein, they all wanted to assimilate into a big, great superpower, which we became. What happened along the way around the Yellow Brick Road was America got all kinds of hostile people that came into the country over time, and they started to change the foundation of America, and they were telling the young people, America really isn't 1776. It's this new world order thing. And if you don't like it, we're going to shove it down your throat. We're going to change America. And you talked, I've read people's articles in 1910, 1920, the 30s, what have you, in the late 18, and they were talking about, we're going to fundamentally change America back then. They wanted America to be a melting pot, if you will. And they didn't mean it from a European standpoint. They had a committed desire to bring in people that had that were tens of thousands of miles farther away than Europe, and that had no connection to this land ever. When we bring people in from Asia and the Middle East and Africa, more from Africa, they don't have a connection to this land in that sense. So they brought in millions of people, and now when you fast forward to 2021, they encourage that through the UN, all of these different programs. It's all to change America's DNA, change America. And one thing I'll say about this, folks, once anybody gets over here and sets foot and sets their ass down in America, it's almost they're entrenched. It's almost like a tick. You cannot get them off the skin. You cannot remove them. They get so entrenched. They burrow in like rodents. You can't get rid of them. And they are here. They are in deep. They are burrowed in. And I hate to use those phrases, but it really is true. And they burrow in here. And America, to them, is a country to shop. And to get into, we're the new Babylonian whore. We can get in there. We can F with it all we want. We don't give a rat's ass about your history or the country. We can spit on your flag and burn it. And I've noticed that a million times. Where new immigrants burn our flag, they have no respect for this country. The vast majority. Not all, but the vast majority. And that's how it is. And that's why we're at the precipice and the edge of the abyss that we're at. That's my history lesson in 10 minutes.
Let me ask you, this is a debate that goes on a lot on Telegram. So if you don't want to answer the question, don't answer it. It's fine. But it's a debate that breaks out on Telegram and like my circles a lot, which is as far as the diversity thing. And you brought up religion. A debate that breaks out often on Telegram in my circles is, and I would just like to, if you don't want to answer it, don't answer it. Vaughn, I get it, brother. It's kind of controversial. I understand. If you had your choice of living in a neighborhood, which was, and this question gets asked on Telegram a lot, believe it or not. If you had your choice, I, myself, I'm a devout Christian. I am a former pagan, but I've been a devout Christian now for quite a while, probably more devout than I've ever been in my life. If given the choice, this always turns into a shit show argument.
I know what you're
going to
say.
Like e. Michael,
go ahead
e.
and
Michael
say it.
Jones and Jared Taylor. Like
I
e.
won't
Michael
censor
Jones
you.
Jared
you
Taylor
say
it. Kind of mixed
right.
up. They end up, if you saw that debate, it was a fantastic debate. Me, personally, where I sided with Jared Taylor in that debate because if it was up to me, I'd much rather live in a neighborhood full of white mixture of Christians, atheists, pagans, et cetera, while people like E. Michael Jones or whatnot, which is like I'm fine living in an all-black neighborhood as long as they're Christians. And, yeah, you put me in the white neighborhood with the mixture of Christians, pagans, and atheists. I'll go that route. But good luck there.
Well, I would say everybody, I mean, I want to live by my own kind for a ton of reasons. And it's got very little to do with their religion in the sense that I believe, and I've said this, I made no joke about it on my show, the way the country is going, I tell people, I have a lot of young guys contact me on the show via email, et cetera, and I tell them, if I were you, I would get around my own people as soon as possible. If you're calling this show and you're emailing me where the rubber meets the road, you're saying, I'm surrounded by militant ghetto neighborhoods. I am getting every day at school around my job. People tell me to my face they want to kill me. And it goes on and on and on from there, right? If you're that guy or gal, why the hell are you sticking around there? If your parents won't move, look, you got to write them off at some point. You wish them well. This is your life you're talking about. This is your future you're talking about. And literally your life could hang in the balance. If you had people, and a lot of these young kids do, they live in rough neighborhoods. I mean, if you were getting death threats every single week, real death threats by gangs, get in your car and get the hell out of there as fast as you can. Find an area that is more to your liking. Get around, I've always said, get around your own people. You got, first of all, your chances of survival go through the roof, and I'm all about survival. So that's my bottom line. You need to get out of there. You need to get prepped and get ready and move around your own people. From there, you can make your next move. But all these conservatives that talk a big game, I go, great, why don't you sell your house and move to South Phoenix? I couldn't do that. Well, you say you know, that race doesn't matter. You tell me, I'm taking what you say at face value, buddy. So I thought back onto them, and their expressions are just priceless. I go, look, I want everybody in the country to do well. I've always said that. I don't care. They're already here is my point. And nothing short of biblical catastrophe is going to entrench these people. They've been busting them in and flying them in for 50 years, right? 100 years, especially under Obama and the last 20 or 30. It's been an invasion. I'm not sure the country's going to survive. There's nothing etched in stone that our country will always be here. And I tell people because of that, and I know history as you do, that there's always a point in any country like the fall of Rome where there is a breaking point. We're already seeing the corrupt Roman Senate. We're already seeing the corrupt emperor, right? We're already seeing Rome burn in many areas, and they want to fiddle like Nero. We're already seeing those signs. And I tell people, do you see the signs? I want the country to do well, ideally. I would love for things to turn around. But there's been so much damage done. It's like an onion, layer upon layer upon layer of sediment, of crap we have to deal with. And they're trying, you know, I just see these things going and unfolding in front of me, and I'm going, I'm not sure we're going to, but one thing I do know, your chances of survival go up exponentially if you're around your own people. Because what happens to even anybody of color, if you're a white guy, and there's a war on white males, we've talked about that openly on my show. We've talked about the war on the European heterosexual white male unabashedly, because the media is against us. The government is against us. They call all of us, you're domestic terrorists. If you buy a gun, if you target shoot, if you hunt, if you train, God forbid, right? How dare you do that, right? But that's how they think. And we're surrounded by more and more and more of these people as they grow, as they bring in millions more, you know. And so these people, eventually, they hate what white America stands for. They hate the suburbs where most whites live, just a fact of life. We don't live in the urban cores. That's why I love facts, because they're stubborn things. They're an inconvenient truth. And so, you know, you hear this rhetoric on TikTok, on Gab, on Twitter, right? And after a while, it gets in the ether, right? It gets in the bloodstream of America. And so, you know, I tell people, yeah, if things were to ever go down in this country, these groups that, you know, that say they hate you are going to come out of the woodwork. Don't think they're going to just roll over and pick your lettuce and act like it's business as usual or whatever you're thinking, because they're going to get real militant. I mean, I like to warn people. I'm a messenger. I'm the Paul Revere on horseback going from town to town. I'd be, the British are coming. Get your effing arms and get out. Battle stations ready. Yeah, I'm that guy. Get the F out of your house. Grab your musket. Get out here on the green and fire at those MFers. That's who I am. And I would tell every patriot,
you know,
you better arm up. You better boot up and suit up and be ready when I ride into your town. When I do, I mean business. And that's exactly what Paul Revere did. I love him because he had a whole spy network. They'd get up there in those church steeples with the lanterns, and they could communicate, and they had all kinds of ways. The spy network that George Washington had really is the precursor to the CIA. I mean, he had quite the network. Our colonial fathers were very smart men. But don't forget, they also were brutal men, and they weren't playing around, and they meant business. They weren't, you know what I mean? They weren't effing around with those British redcoats.
All throughout history, our ancestors were brutal men until, like, you could say, like, just to be perfectly honest with you, until the end of World War II, when the subversion happened, all of our ancestors were brutal men. None of them would tolerate this shit that we tolerate today. None of them would tolerate that. I'm a big fan of Paul Revere as well. I prefer Nathan Hill, the original spy.
I love those guys that you mentioned. They're my top five. Nathan Hill was a great patriot who died for his country. Sam Adams was the bull in the China shop, and those colonials love him. And his beer's pretty good too. But people have this fantasy that colonials just got lucky. No, they were ruthless, brutal men. And they said, Ben Franklin, I love him, who said it many times, if we don't win this war, we're all going to hang. We're all going to hang separately or collectively in London.
Whenever Nathan Hill got hung, like, his last words were, I regret that I have only one life to lose for my country.
Right.
The way things are currently going, whenever I eventually get hung by this Bolshevik communist Jewish Zog government, then I would like to give the same speech, but instead of saying country, I would say race.
Well, I would say, here's how I look at it. I have told people before that we'd love to live in a society where you didn't have to talk about race this or race that or skin color, all this stuff. I really would. I mean, but my point is, when I hear these militants get on TV and get on, that's all the left talks about is race. All they talk about 24/7 is race. So to me, if you're a Republican and you go, oh, I don't want to talk, because you are, the reason why they say that, the conservatives, they're embarrassed to talk about race. They feel it's going to get them in trouble. They're going to lose their job or lose a sponsor on a radio show or whatever. And they're squeamish about it. They squirm in their chair. And I tell them, yes, we want to live in a colorblind society, but guess what? Many, many militants in our country, they don't want that. They want to talk about race 24/7. Look on CNN, look on the media. They're always bringing up race, right? And they pit group against group. I want everyone to do well, but I will say this. If someone's coming at me for no good reason, because I'm a white male, then we're going to have problems. That's how I look at it. Major, big, big problems. And a lot of people like that are like that in the country today. We have a lot of militants that are here now that are all radicalized.
I look at things very much along the same lines as like the relationship. And there was a relationship. They actually became friends. A man named George Lincoln Rockwell, which is where I got my name, by the way, and Malcolm X. Most people don't know that they actually developed a friendship and actually got along. Well, not really a friendship, but a mutual respect for another. In the sense, they both agreed. They went to each other's speeches. They visited one another's speeches. I mean, when Malcolm X gave a speech, Rockwell was the first one to donate to his cause.
Right.
And they had a mutual respect for one another because they both agreed that, yes, we want what's best for you, and you want what's best for us. We don't have to be enemies. We don't have to be enemies. We don't have to hate one another. We don't have to, you know, we can wish each other the absolute
Rockwell
best.
Rockwell wanted Malcolm X to have his own country.
One another.
Right. Right,
we're just better off living in our own lands around our own people.
Correct. And I say that's not a bad plan. I mean, this idea that we all have to, you know, sing kumbaya. Kumbaya doesn't exist in America. Oh, there are people who profess it. But when you really get to talking to people, people naturally like to live around their own kind. I don't blame them. If you're a Mexican guy, you want to live in a Mexican neighborhood. If you're a black guy, you feel more comfortable in the ghetto or your black neighborhood or the urban core, you know, whatever, wherever you're from, you know, or the suburbs, a black suburb, whatever the case is. If you're a white guy, you prefer to be around your own. If you're Chinese or Asian, you feel comfortable in Chinatown or, you know, that may be a stereotype, but in other words, you feel more comfortable around an Asian neighborhood, right? There's many of them in California, and they're all Asian. And, again, we want everyone to do well in America, but I will say that this idea that we have, and, again, the government loves to push this thing. But, Lincoln, it's been great talking to you. You have a show called The Base Truth on Telegram, and I've been on there a few times, and lately I've not found your talking group. I found lots of ads. How do we get to your chat room that I entered once? I did not see a flag for that. I wanted to mention that to you.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. Because Telegram completely censored us. And we started a different group, which got censored after that. So now we have a new one and it's called, It's called Legion of Truth. And we just started this like a few days ago. It's like our newest uncensored version where people, you can still see Base Truth and you can still see the other one after that if you use like the web version or whatnot. But if you use an app, you can't see it because it wasn't a Telegram ban. It was an Apple and a Google ban. Google and Apple don't allow it to be seen. Telegram is fine with it. Unfortunately, that cuts the people down a lot because some people just don't want to use the web version. I don't blame them because web version sucks. So we recently created another one. That's where you can find us now. And like, you know, if people want to pop on there and have a voice chat, talk about things like that. More than welcome.
Legion of Truth.
You know, various
okay, I'll check you
private
out.
Groups that you can a person can come into and have voice chats as well. I have my own private. That's a public one. I have my own private one with several people. One of my really good friends has one with, you know, more people. That's a private thing, but I'm sure you'd have no problem getting to either one if you want to have hang out with us and have a voice chat. But as far as the general,
I'll check it out. Yeah, I went looking for you. I want you to know a few times that I couldn't find your link to get into the chat room, but that one time. So I had a feeling that they censored you guys and they. You're on the blacklist there. So I hate censorship of any kind. I really, really do. One of my pet peeves, man. Can't stand it. You know.
I'll send you a DM.
But Lincoln, thanks so much.
I'll send the link to you via DM.
Yeah, send me a link on Gab and send me your email on Gab as well, okay?
Right on, brother. Sounds good.
Awesome,
good
Lincoln. Hey, have a great night, buddy.
It's been a while since I talked to you, brother, and I very much enjoyed this. I felt like we had a fantastic talk tonight, brother.
We did, too.
Yeah, man. It was good talking to you again, brother. Hell victory, man.
Absolutely, Lincoln. Good talking to you, brother, and hell for victory, man. And, I mean, these are so many great topics that we brought up. We could talk for hours, I know, about this stuff. It's a deep, deep subject. But we're living it. We're living it now, aren't we? It's been the crazy. It's only going to get crazier.
We have no choice.
I know. We have no choice. This is the torch has been given to us, my friend. Have a great night, Lincoln. Appreciate you, man.
Good night, brother.
Good night, brother. That was Lincoln from Flyover Country there. Great caller of the show. Great supporter. Well, we're in serious overtime now, but I want to give my tech wizard, if he's still there, a few minutes to discuss. We don't have much time, but I promise you, Irish Pirate, I will get you on a few shows here in December where you can talk a bit more. If he's still there, we'll check here.
I'll take
yes!
the 2 minutes I get.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
We got about five.
Okay.
Go for it.
I think the biggest things that I've seen now are, first of all, I really am appreciative. Some friends of mine sent me a link to the brand new Bobby Kennedy video and the interview
that
accompanied it that deal with the real Fauci. Oh, that stuff is very demeaningly accurate. That they've got, I don't know where this stuff was at a long time ago. Why somebody didn't just step out and say, who does Fauci think he is anyway? Because this stuff is, I mean, if it had come out right at the beginning, I think we wouldn't even have had the quote-unquote pandemic. I don't think there would have been a response because nobody would have believed Fauci. And I think that's the biggest trouble we have is we keep getting our information a little too late. The Ghislaine Maxwell so-called trial, she's only up on one count. She messed up thousands upon thousands of girls' lives and only one count? I mean, seriously? And so this is the problem we have is that even if it's one count, we need it rammed down the throat. But in the defense isn't even trying, just like in the Kyle Rittenhouse thing. The defense was, the prosecution there was a joke. A dude facepalmed at least 12 times in his own shame. And so this almost is a pony show as well, because they're actually saying, how can Ghislaine Maxwell be guilty of anything? Because, you know, usually men use women for all sorts of terrible things, and she really can't be held responsible. It's like, why was that even in a courtroom? A law is a law, and it doesn't matter how we feel about the person until it comes time for sentencing. Guilty or not is what is the only thing that should be being covered right now. And so instead what you see is, for example, they actually got the time at day three to actually ask Ghislaine Maxwell, did Donald Trump meet with somebody who eventually then go to the Lolita Express and go to the Fantasy Island with Epstein? She said, yeah, he met somebody there. And so immediately the whole news media goes out and starts writing about Trump was on the plane. Well, the smartest money is on Roger Stone, who came out and said, look, Donald Trump is going to go on a flight to Saudi Arabia early in his campaign and decided not to do it because he and I had to get together for something more important. So he let some of his seconds and thirds go down along with a good group of pilots and people could handle the tech of it all. And the plane didn't make it. The plane crashed and killed some of his best people. And Donald Trump at that time swore a vow never to have him or his crew take another plane that he personally didn't supervise the maintenance. And so they just come out and say, oh, he jumped on the Lolita Express and took off to some place he's never been on a plane he doesn't know with a guy he barely knew. And I'm thinking that's not going to happen to a guy that's lost some of his best workers and friends on an airplane and swore a vow, I'm never going to let that happen to me or anybody I know again. And so once again, they're just coming. And
unfortunately, that's not something that everybody can know, which is why I'm bringing it out on the show, that Roger Stone came out and said that. He said, that's something, you know, I've known the guy personally for such a long time.
That's true.
You can say a lot of things about him, but you can't say he's going to jump in somebody else's airplane. Let's throw that out now.
Right.
That's too obvious.
Exactly, man.
So little things like that
that's
do make
a good
a
point.
Little things
they
like
do.
That make a difference, especially when
Absolutely.
We've
been talking about the ridiculousness of the whole, like they're taking Aborigines right now in Australia out into internment camps. These people
yeah.
don't even understand what a pandemic is by our standard. Which is
I know.
Rules. And so that's
sad.
To me,
Australia, what's happening there is sad, man. I told
that's
folks on the Gab Irish that I said, Australian people, this is a message from the Von Weehunt Show. You are on your own. Do as you must. And I mean that.
Well,
you're on your own. No one's coming to save them, and no one's coming to save us.
Well, they would put out a little bit more. But, so I've heard on you know phone calls and stuff like that that's come out online. I said, we do more, but we want to know the rest of the world is fighting because we made a mistake and we can make up for it. It's going to cost us a lot. We just want to know that we're fighting for a good cause. And the number one country they look to is America for that. But what they don't realize is America is number one for vaccine deaths of all kinds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we lead the league in having the worst medical community. And it doesn't look like
mm-hmm.
that because we talk a good game. But the reality is we're awful, and we're one of the most obese nations. I think we're number 61 only in births that survive anyway. And then we're
right.
naturally obese, and we have all these problems. And people look to us saying, oh, well, there's so much money flowing around, and they have such a spirit that, you know, they should be able to do that. And the answer is that only makes our spirit healthy. Everything else is going in the toilet. And if we have to rely
right.
on our spirit, so be it, but we would like to know, just like Australia, you know, is it worth fighting for? And so that's why you've got to get, for example, as Lincoln was talking about, he found God because he knew he was going to need him. He recognized that's it's a rational thing. It's one of the hardest things that people around me have ever understood. And I'll repeat something I've said before. I didn't find God because I suddenly got addicted to something or had a terrible accident. I had to pray for my own survival. I found God in the law, our law, the one that says he's a creator. Now, I was a little bit off because he's got 10 more jobs in some of our other foundational documents. But the important thing is I found him there. And I said, anybody who is being honored for these really creative ideas that say you are your own person, you are your own spirit, and you're allowed to act on that. Of course, they're trying to trash it every day of the week. But all we have to do is come at them with the same spirit, saying, look, this is the way either the foundations count or they don't. I mean, it's one thing to have a rebellion from below. We're having a rebellion from above. And it's up
right.
to us to actually say we are the government. I mean, that's literally, and
right.
they're not going to teach you that in school, of course. But sooner or later, you do find out. And that's where
I agree.
I've learned
that's
that
where
the
we're
best
at.
Thing that I could possibly do is get out of the classrooms like I do, which I'll be doing again on Tuesday. And matter of fact, this time, a friend of ours from the show is going to be with me. It's going to be interesting.
Good. Good.
I think that clearance comes through on December 3rd. So,
Irish,
yeah,
we have to run, man. We have to run on the show. I hate to cut you off. We'll get you on here in some
more
shows. There will be always
more,
my friend. Yes.
And,
Irish pirate, folks,
teachers,
from his North Valley compound.
Teachers that
we love
have been
you,
asking
man.
For me, saying, do something, please. I hear you. I'm going to do something. Thank you for the time, Von Weehunt.
You got it. Irish pirate, anytime. We could talk for hours. Very interesting man with lots of good points, and we will continue. This is an ongoing conversation. Folks, this is our record time tonight. We are in serious trouble. No, just kidding. We're in serious overtime. I appreciate JD for being here for our VIP guest tonight. Glad he could make the show. and we had some great callers. We couldn't get Brett the Surfer on. Brett, I know you're out there. We'll get you on the next show. We can't. Some of the other callers had dropped off the line as well. Lincoln had a great call as well, and my God, we will talk more on all kinds of future shows. Folks, we're up against the wall. We're up against the clock. It's a Marxist globalist coup with this COVID thing. It's all about full spectrum control over your lives. I speak extemporaneously on this show. We speak our mind. We speak from our heart. It is a globalist takeover. We must fight it tooth and nail every chance we can get. We thank you for being here every Thursday night, 8 to 10, the legendary, the rogue, the infamous Von Weehunt Show. As I sign off from my mountain stronghold, have a great December. Next week is Stephen Albany next Thursday night. Next Tuesday night is The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, because accidents never happen in a perfect world. Never forget that. Good night.
For a while.